made Ryan blush a little bit. Did you see that on the monitor?
That's my goal.
You got all red on us.
You can weed in the rain, and I do mean weed by picking dandelions up.
Go for it, sure. The rain and the 40-degree temperature. Sounds like fun.
That's the problem, is the 40-degree temperature.
That's the problem.
On a summer day, if it's just raining a little, you know, it's a lot of work to garden. I was planning on planting stuff this weekend and doing some weeding.
Oh, come on.
But now I can't. Now I have to go shopping.
Could you just briefly explain the pleasure part of that to me? Because I'm not sure I understand getting all dirty and muddy and just putting stuff in the ground. What the pleasure comes in where exactly? I'm not sure I get it.
I honestly believe it's from being a kid when you would play in the sandbox or you'd make mud pies. It's just something feels so natural. Thank God I'm a country girl. It's just you stick your hands in the mud. I don't even use the gloves, and you should. I do with my rose bushes because I've gotten hurt a couple times.
And you have fun immediately? Like, as soon as you get out there, you have instant fun? Or when it's over, do you go, well, I guess that was fun?
I don't stop all summer.
You just keep doing that all year, and it's fun?
I just passed a couple of nurseries on the way in, and like plant nursery, not baby nurseries. I don't plant babies.
You shouldn't. You're making the right choice there.
Thank you. I'm already like looking, going, what holes can I fill in my garden?
Yes.
But Bill, have you ever felt the pleasure of power washing?
No.
Like a sidewalk, and you get that power washer going, and it just makes that nice, clean, crisp. It's like coloring for adults. It's awesome.
So it's similar. Similar? Yeah.
I think for you, Wendy, you see a blemish in your garden, you want to yank that thing out, right?
Yeah, and for the weeding. And then I'm very artistic. I like to paint. I like to do crafts.
But you don't get muddy if you paint properly.
You get paint on you.
Yeah, I guess so.
You get glue when you're trying to put the popsicle sticks together. Right. I like to make jewelry. I really like to do things with my hands. And, you know, I take a cocktail out in the yard.
Yeah.
Although I'd have it in the house, too, so it really doesn't. It's nothing special.
That doesn't matter, I guess. Right.
But it's just fun. It's like my palette where I can figure out where to put things.
But when you're done, you come in the next day and you're all sore.
I am sore.
I was bent over all day.
It's great exercise. Good for the core. It really is.
Yeah.
I'll have to introduce you to power washing, Bill. I think you'll find it very therapeutic.
I may be the only guy on the planet who has no concept of how enjoyable that is. I've had several friends over the years explain it to me. And they go, oh, it's like much like yourself, right? And they just explain it with such enthusiasm. And
You're using the power of water to make dirt
to make
go
things
away.
Clean.
Yes.
Ryan, have you met Bill Leff? Because he just really, and this is not a slam, this is a total compliment.
Oh.
You are not the typical guy in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-mm.
You like sports. There are some
Love
ways,
sports.
I guess.
Yeah.
But you're not, and I'm not the typical girl. Although with my gardening and crafting and jewelry making.
There you are.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a crossover. But
right.
Typically, we do not do what the average person does, especially you, I have to tell you.
That's true. Thanks. That was you again. That was
it's
a compliment.
You are a total original, a unique human being.
Thank you.
You play tennis, but I mean, you fixed a cabinet once in your house how many years ago, and your wife is still crazy in love with you for that?
Yep, still talking about it. Remember the time you fixed the cabinet?
But remember that feeling. Don't you want to fix something else?
No. I'm not.
I did my one. I'm good.
One and done. But wasn't that a great feeling that everybody is like, oh my God, honey, that was so fantastic.
It wasn't worth the hype, you know?
Yes, it was. You know, we just want you guys to take. Jim is out of town and he handled everything before he left. He got printer cartridges. He got dog food. He picked up the prescriptions at Walgreens.
Oh, I can pick stuff up. If somebody calls something in, I know how to get there and bring it home.
But you don't know how excited I was that he did that before he left. I'm like, oh, my God, thank you so much. You just saved me 3 trips.
Yeah. Or one.
Dog food is one place, prescriptions another, printer cartridges another.
But you could route it so that you could leave the house, get all 3.
Oh yeah, but
come
just
home.
3 different places though.
Right.
A printer, pill, and pet store. Although, why don't they have one?
Meyer's Thrifty Acres in Michigan. Have you ever been there?
It's a long drive.
They have, you can't name a thing that they don't sell there.
There's a Meijer out in either Naperville or Bolingbrook or something.
No, those are the small ones. They have
that's small?
That's a small one. In Michigan, they have these things. They're called Meijer's Thrifty Acres, and you can go, well, I need peanut M&Ms and an iron lung. And you could go there and you could get them. They would have them in the next aisle to each other. It's the most amazing thing. I've never seen anything like it. There's not a single thing on the planet they don't sell there.
It's not like service merchandise, though, where like it would come back on a conveyor belt, right? Okay.
Oh, my God, was that fun. You'd get your little clipboard at service merchandise, and the pencil was always attached to it.
Right.
And you would put in the code of the catalog number.
Right.
And then, lo and behold,
6.5 hours later.
No, it was not that long. It was so exciting waiting for it, too.
And you would. As Ryan said, you'd see it slowly roll on a conveyor belt. No one was in a hurry there. Ever.
Speaking of slowly rolling, I have heard about freight train interference on various traffic reports. I'm sure Jill Egan would attest to that. I didn't know what it meant till this morning. Can I explain it?
Absolutely.
After this?
Yep. All right. So all that and more are coming your way next. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. This is going to be a techno club in the next few weeks, I predict. This studio, it's going to remain a radio studio, but it'll also be a techno club. Very excited about
a 90s techno club?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I was doing the robot dance for you.
You
didn't even compliment me.
I'm used to seeing you do the robot dance. It's no big thrill.
I commended my husband for running some errands, and somebody said, texted us at 312-981-7200, Wendy, you make your husband sound like he's slow or mentally challenged.
Oh.
How?
Well, I think, I'm just guessing here, I think it's part of the job description to pick stuff up. If I can do it, anyone can do it. You know, to go, my wife
all
will
I'm
say,
saying,
go here, here, and here, and then come back with the stuff you've gathered. It doesn't mean he's slow.
Well, here, it's not
slow. You shouldn't
slow.
Be amazed by it.
I am a little amazed by it because in my run-ins with boys, which I live with all three of them, I will give a list of them to do something. And did you pick that? Oh, I forgot
that. Sure.
And I'm sorry, Jim is not the only one to forget. There are a lot
of
guys that do it.
Right.
We borrowed our friend's GoPro camera. Well, I didn't, but my husband did. So I get a call this morning from our friend John. Hey, you know, I know Jimmy's out of town. Can I come by and pick up the GoPro camera? It should be in the basement. And I said, okay. And it was so sweet of our friend when he came to the front door to pick it up. He said, I know you have your hands full, and I know you don't need another guy that forgets something.
Oh.
And I'm like, thank you. Yeah. Thank you just for saying that.
He recognizes it.
Yeah,
sure.
And I'm like, no, totally cool.
Right, 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 right.
And then that made me feel like I'm not the only one.
No,
he's not slow or mentally challenged, just forgetful,
yeah,
usually.
That happens.
So with him out of town, I have to get one kid to school at 6:50 in the morning for Madrigal practice. I have to get the other kid to school at 8:30. I have to walk Tiki and then come to work. Not a big deal. A lot of people do it. But I have often heard the term freight train interference, like the Burlington Northern line is running late due to freight train interference. I didn't really know what that meant.
UP Northwest line gets it a lot.
A lot.
Yeah. What did you think it meant?
I just heard it and I'm like, wow, what's a freight train doing there? But I didn't know how a freight train could interfere with the runnings of a train line.
Yeah.
A commuter line.
Yeah.
Well, I witnessed it this morning in our town. There's a crossing that's closed. And so I went to the other crossing and all of a sudden, as I'm trying to get Dylan to school by 8:30, this was at about 8:26, a freight train is going and it goes so slowly and
yeah.
It's just about ready to pass the crossing and it slows down to like, I don't know, an inch an hour.
Yeah, right.
And it's right
there. You've never seen that before, ever?
Well, I've seen that, but I didn't know that's what it meant when people say freight train interference.
And there are some real choke points, too. I mean, that this happens quite frequently, and it can be very, very frustrating. I know in the Lake Zurich area, there's the Canadian National Line, mm-hmm. and that thing sometimes slows to a crawl, and it'll just really...
At rush hour, though, can't they, like...
They try to run them at night, but, you know... Sometimes, you know, all it takes is one train to be slow, and it kind of messes up everything for
Ryan,
the rest of the day.
Is it on? It's not on the same 24-hour schedule. Like, if it's late one day at 8:10, it's not going to be late the next day at 8:10 and the day after that, right? It runs at an odd schedule.
I don't believe so, but I mean, just like any of us commuting, you know, it's never perfect at the same time every day.
Right.
And then if your kid's late, if you walk them into the office, they get an excused absence.
Oh, sure.
So I walked into the office, and there was a little girl before us, and the office mistress was like, you know,
there's an office mistress.
Well, the lady
I know
at the
more
desk.
About this.
Wow.
Hey,
That's maybe gonna, she was at one
that's
time.
That's gonna make people show up earlier, not later.
No, so she said to the little girl, is there a reason you're late? And she said, yes. And the secretary said, you know, well, did someone call in? No, my mom said you could email her later.
Oh.
And the office lady just kind of went, I'm not doing that.
Did she also use the, because I'm now going to use the excuse, freight train interference. I'm going to say that whenever I'm late for anything. I'm going to go, well, what is it, the Canadian National, Ryan? Is that the one you just mentioned?
That's one of them,
the
yeah.
The Canadian
that,
National.
That one causes problems in the Northwest suburbs.
Well, sure, because it's hauling maple syrup and molasses.
Exactly.
And
slow.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to take forever.
But it just cracked me up. Like, she said, oh, my mom said you could email her. Well, the secretary is not going
right,
to email
that's her.
That's
her job.
And she kind of rolled her eyes, so then I saved this little girl's life.
By doing what?
Because the girl said something like, yeah, you can email her later. I don't know, something about a train. And I said, I can attest to this.
You get the assist.
I said, there's a crossing closed, so you go to the other one, and there's a freight train that literally took 12 minutes.
Yeah.
And 12 minutes is a lot when you're trying to get there on time.
Yeah.
And then the secretary said, oh, yeah, a lot of people have been saying that. So I think I got this
you
girl
you saved
an
your day.
Excused absence.
Nicely played.
So the mom should email me and thank
sure.
me.
I'm sure she will.
Isn't that funny,
I'm
though?
Positive.
The mom drops the kid off. Yeah, you could just email her. She'll explain it.
It's a busy world. You know that.
Wow.
All right, we need to take a break. Ryan has the news, all train news today. Ryan insists it's going to be all train-related news stories. And then
some
train-related news stories, and then a full agenda for you next, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
As I walked out in the streets of Laredo, as I walked
what does this put you in the mind of?
I have goosebumps. I'm
sure.
Sorry. This is a beautiful song.
Yep.
That's what it reminds me of.
Young
cowboy.
Yep.
A hot young cowboy with spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle.
I think you're reading more into it than the song intends. Don't you, Kevin?
A little bit.
A little bit.
Every girl has a little crush on a cowboy at
Do
some
you?
Point
yeah.
in their life.
Who's like, who? If you had to select the ultimate cowboy, who would that be?
Slim Pickens.
Slim Pickens, sure. That's a good-looking cowboy.
You know, I envision Sam. Did Sam Elliott play
he
a cowboy?
He played a cowboy in almost everything he's ever been in.
That's my dream cowboy.
Yeah.
A great actor. Is he still alive?
He's still with us.
At
Sam
least
Elliott.
Today he is.
He's married to Catherine Ross. Do you know who that is?
Wasn't she the mom in Happy Days?
No, that's Marion Ross.
Oh.
Catherine Ross
Her sister?
Is, they're not related at all. No. She is in, you know, in The Graduate, Elaine, that
oh,
Dustin
yeah.
Hoffman wants to, and I won't tell you what happens at the end, but that, yeah, Elaine.
How many years ago did that movie come out?
About 50, but there's still people who have DVR'd it who have not seen it yet, so I don't want to ruin the ending for them. See The Graduate so we can talk about it, everybody.
She's
come on.
A beautiful woman.
She's beautiful.
And he's very
She
manly.
Was also in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. She was the female lead in that, and Sam Elliott, yeah, that's your penultimate cowboy,
yep.
isn't it? That's a handsome cowboy.
And what makes a cowboy so sexy, and for guys, I think, you know, cowgirls could be very sexy.
Mm-hmm.
What's, not Dale Evans, probably.
You could do worse than Dale Evans. Why not?
There's some sexy cowboy girls, though.
Cowgirls.
I guess.
Well, the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders.
All right, see, there you go.
And I'm pretty sure they were all actual cowgirls.
You had to be, right?
You had to
yeah,
be. Mm-hmm. That was the law.
Mm-hmm.
What, they had to lasso and be able to tie you up?
Yeah. You had to catch a steer. They were great cheerleaders, don't get me wrong, but the law in Texas states, and I quote, you have to be a real cowgirl if you're going to be a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. They're adamant about that.
I did not know that.
Yeah. But
part of the charm, though, of a cowboy and a cowgirl is the hat, and I think most importantly, the cowboy boots.
Oh, without a doubt. Sure.
Come on. Who was it in Jessica Simpson would always wear cowboy boots with really short shorts.
Yeah.
It's a great look.
Mm-hmm.
Until now, they've kind of bastardized the cowboy boot.
Oh, I hate to hear that. Why?
All right, well, if you're wondering what cowboys do in the summer when it gets too hot to wear boots, and this isn't really a joke.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a joke, but it's not a joke.
Mm-hmm.
They grab a pair of trusty cowboy boot sandals.
Cowboy boot sandals. You sure?
Bill, this is ridiculous. I will admit that I have a pair of like ankle boots that appear to look a little cowboy-esque. And there are some cutouts on the side and buckles, so like some of your skin shows.
Yeah.
It's meant to be worn in the summer.
Right.
And they're cute. This literally looks like a leather flip-flop.
Yeah.
And then if you had the shaft part of the boot, shut my mouth. I was waiting for that.
Right.
The shaft part of the boot almost looks like a leg warmer, like you would just pull it up. That's what it looks like. You have like the shaft part of the boot, and at the heel part, it's connected to what in the front is a flip-flop.
Yeah, that doesn't work. I don't think real cowboys would wear those. I think real cowboys would scoff at those. They would refuse to wear them.
Would they wear socks with those sandals?
No, because it's a flip-flop. So you can't wear socks unless you have the socks that have the separated big toe from the
Can
rest of
Can a boot flip-flop? It'd be like a clip-clop, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, more of a... You're right, Kevin. He's right.
They're used
true.
To that sound already, so there you go.
But when you think about what a cowboy does, think about what a cowboy does all day. He doesn't have
They're
time
in manure.
For, they can't be in sandals.
They're knee-deep in manure.
All day long, every day, on their best day.
Don't you have to say manure when you're thinking of cowboys?
You don't have to, but it paints the picture better, I guess.
Buffalo
sure.
chips. What do you say?
I think any of those are reasonable, sure.
All right. They're $75 and above.
Cowboys won't pay that. None of my cowboy friends would pay $75 for those.
Bill, they wouldn't wear these.
I don't think so.
And this is hopefully just for women, because I think it's very sexy to see a guy in a flip-flop. I know everybody here disagrees with me. I like it.
Yeah.
I like flip-flops in the summer with jeans. I think that just looks really hot.
For women?
No, for men.
For
I
men,
like it. I like it.
You're sure?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, you know, I just think it looks very like surfer dude-ish.
But guys oftentimes don't take good care of their feet. Women do. Women tend to fixate a little more and take good care of them, and men do not. So a lot of times you're treated to a view that is unpleasant at best. Would you agree with me?
There should be just a new job position, the foot police.
Somebody should have that job, right?
And they would stamp you approved for flip flops.
Right, you'd have to
rejected.
Bring in, when you go into Fava, you'd have to show them a card from the city that says you're clear, you can wear them.
A flip-flop permit, if you will.
I think there's some tax revenue there, and it'd be better for the society, I think.
We'll post a link up on our Facebook page. Kevin, it's just hideous.
Cowboys would never, ever wear those.
Well, these unusual fashion creations feature the traditional cowboy look fused with the comfort of a flip-flop. They don't go together.
You can't mix those.
Part of the charm of a cowboy boot, I'm wearing my Fry harness boots, and they have like a squared off toe.
Yeah.
Are
you going line dancing after the show today?
No.
No?
Everybody says these are biker boots.
Let's see. Those are biker boots. Those are not cowboy boots. Those are definitely biker boots.
Well, I could bike and cowboy at the same time.
I would like to see that. I don't think you could do them simultaneously, but try it.
Well, these particular flip-flop fusion boot things are called, if you can believe it, redneck boot sandals.
That's the easiest part of the story to believe. The rest of it is inconceivable, but that part I would believe.
The redneck boot sandals are exactly what would happen if a drunk cowboy took scissors to his own boots in order to customize them for the summer heat. So it's a boot minus the actual foot covering.
Well, yeah, but
it's stupid.
That's what a boot is, though. You can't take that part out of it.
Seriously? I mean, I know
Tony Lama is not going to be happy.
No, but if he was smart, he would have his own version of the redneck boot sandal.
Right, maybe.
As funny as these shoes are, the price and manufacturing process is no joke. A set of these babies will cost you upwards of $75, and you have to send. Well, this is a deal breaker. You have to send in your original pair of boots, and they modify.
No,
that is not going
to
happen.
That.
It's kind of a commitment. I bet you see it a lot at the music festivals this summer.
You nailed it. That's where you'll see it. This is a Coachella thing.
All right, well, that already happened, so maybe at
What's
Lollapalooza.
What's the next one? Lollapalooza, is that the next one? Yeah.
Definitely at a Kid Rock show.
Yes. Yes. Without a doubt, yeah.
All right, well, if you want the redneck boot sandals.
I don't.
Who does? If you would wear these, please let us know.
Other cowboys will make fun of you. And
absolutely.
That's not what cowboys aren't known for making fun of other cowboys, but they will make fun of you if you wear these.
And I'm sorry, but you have to send in your boot and pay $75?
That's for them to destroy your old boots?
Don't do it, people. Please do not make this a hot new trend for summer.
Please. All right. We'll take a quick break and then more show. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy, and it's WGN.
Oh, this is my song.
Isn't this pretty?
This is my signature song that I perform.
When you do karaoke?
No, when I sing.
When you go to honky tonks?
You keep saying you got block parties. I sang it.
Bar mitzvahs?
With some bands. It's so easy.
Tupperware parties?
No. When I'm gigging.
When you're what? I'm sorry?
When I'm gigging.
When you're gigging.
If I have a gig and sometimes right. I guest star with some bands and that's my go-to song.
You sing that?
Yep.
Is that your opener or your closer? What do you,
my only.
Your only. All right.
I'm just guesting. It's not. I don't have a band together yet. Right. You want to be in my band?
I can't. I'm busy.
I need a triangle player.
I'm union. You can't afford me.
Hi, Don. How are you?
Oh, fine.
All right. We're talking about these, what are they called? The redneck boot sandals. You have to send your cowboy boot in, and for $75, they'll pretty much cut holes in it and make it look like a cowboy boot shaft on the shin part of your leg, and then a flip-flop in the front, and it's stupid.
Right. But people, instead of throwing their boots off, they're using for recycling. We make quite a few of them.
You're kidding me.
No. I've got a small saddle leather shop over in Western Illinois. And the wife does it. We take those and make those, and she takes the old boots and make ladies' purses with them. But yeah, that's a big thing right now, is those sandals.
Are you kidding me? I'd like a purse made out of old recycled cowboy boots. That'd be
that
cool.
would look belt. Nice. That would be fine.
Yep. Yeah, we take the top. She takes the top of them, and she recycles them into a lady's purse.
And what does she charge? Because they said in this article that they're charging $75.
And you send your boot in.
You lose that.
Don's taking old recycled boots
right,
and making
it's better.
Them.
It sounds like a better value.
Well, we do. She does a lot of yard sales, a lot of flea market shops or whatever, and she'll buy pairs of boots. And like I said, most of the time the tops are good, the bottoms are bad. But then we've had some quests. People bring their boots to us, and then she'll cut them out and make the sandals out of them.
With a flip-flop toe, though, the flip-flop?
Yeah. Yeah,
really,
she cuts it all out, and like I say, it's just like a regular flip flop.
And who's the average customer? Like, describe who the average customer would be for this.
To us, it's just any country girl or some girl that has boots and they don't want to throw them away, and they want something else to do with them for a different style, and she'll take them and use them.
But all girls, right? Guys wouldn't do this, would they? Or
we've never had no guys. We just had girls do. We've never had no guys do it. Right. It's mainly ladies that does it.
Yeah.
Well, Don, I feel sorry now that I'm making fun of them, and you know what? I guess you shouldn't knock it unless you try it, but I don't know about that. I don't know.
Well, exactly. It's like, I mean, my opinion, I wouldn't use a boot that's for a purse, but she makes lots of them. She sells them in a real high dollar place there at Quincy, Illinois, where she sells her boots at.
Can you name the shop? Do you want to give a name to the...
It's Boyer's Boot Shop there in Quincy, Illinois. It's Boyer's.
Boyer's. Okay.
Yep.
Does your wife have an Etsy shop?
No, she basically sells at home and sells at different flea markets is where she sells at.
Yeah.
And we've got our little shop. She's got, you know, we've got a Facebook account that, you know, a lot of people go look at them at.
And Don,
what is that Facebook?
DMC Leather.
DMC Leather.
Yeah, DMC Leather is where you can go look at them at.
I get it, because you run in your boots.
Run DMC.
Yeah, there you go.
And these aren't, like, you wouldn't call these functional in terms of doing actual cowgirl work. These are more fashionable than anything else, right?
They're just a fashionable thing. First, you know, they go out on the town or whatever. But, yeah, they're not a fashionable boot that you can actually go out and work, you know, because you got all toes, you got all leather cut off the feet part of it.
Right.
So they're gone, yeah.
Right. All right. Well, we hope she makes $1 billion doing this.
Yeah, she has fun doing it. It's all creative when she starts, so.
Yeah.
Well, I like that. And again, I don't mean to, you know, make fun of what you guys do, but I don't know. I
it's
guess
not for you.
I got to try them on. I guess then I'd make my decision.
Yeah.
Like I said, one person likes them, another person don't. It's everything different, you know, in the world that we do. And we work with leathers. So that makes everything a lot of difference when you get into it. So.
Yeah, that makes sense. But, all right. Yeah. Well, thank you. Okay. Thanks, Don.
Okay. You guys have a good day.
Thank you,
too.
I bet, like, when Billy Ray Cyrus comes to town, you could set up a booth or something and make a couple $1,000s, I bet.
I'm sure Miley will wear these.
I don't know. Oh, this may be too much clothing for her.
I can't find DMC on Facebook.
Oh, no.
Because I want to actually look at them.
You wanted to see what they had to offer?
I really feel bad. I don't want to, you know, zap someone's creativity. I like to make jewelry.
Right.
I'm making a necklace. I made this necklace I'm wearing today.
That's very nice.
Some people, you know, it's just a leather cord and an O-ring and some beads hanging, and people would probably go, that's stupid.
Who would say that?
You.
I would not say
that. I read your thought bubble.
With you in the room. If you were to leave the room, I might.
Can I tell you, like, wedges have come back, too.
Of course,
And that was maybe last year, maybe 2 years ago. But, like, when I was in seventh grade, I had wedges, like platform, basically.
They were very popular.
And my favorite shoe of all time, I completely stole the idea from Kristen Decker.
Yeah.
And they are Chuck Taylor Converse All-Stars high top. But there's a hidden 3-inch wedge in there.
Yeah.
I love them.
And by hidden, it can't be that hidden.
Well, it does. Like, you know.
It's like all of a sudden your friend is 3 inches taller. You're going to go, well, something's up.
Well, yeah. I was just thinking Prince should have worn them.
he did wear them.
But not these. These are new this year. And really, Kristen Decker started it, and I completely stole her look.
Oh.
And you can't tell that it's a wedge, really. It looks, I mean, you have to look closely. It looks
like a standard
Converse high top.
Right. Now, somebody told us by way of text that if we think these boots are bad, we need to Google Adidas cowboy boots. And we did. And we both threw up.
You know what? We did.
We both got sick to our stomachs.
It's an Adidas shoe, which, of course, you know, is traditional that it has the, is it the three stripes on the side?
Three or four. Is it three? Yeah, I guess it's three.
You're telling a woman something about shoes.
Well, you can't tell that fourth one is kind of a stripe, but it's not. So
would Derrick Rose wear it?
Not on purpose, Ryan.
Because he's an Adidas guy.
He is, but I think Derrick Rose is smart enough to, like, if they said to him, try these on, these Adidas cowboy boots, Derrick Rose would say, it's not worth it. I don't want to wear these. They look like you're being punished for something.
Maybe
you
help them on free throws.
They look like a rain boot meets a basketball shoe. Would that be correct? Like galoshes?
Yeah, but there's more like cowboy. There's a cowboy flavor to it.
Just the very top has like that flared foot entrance. I don't know what you call
it. That's what it's called. It's called a foot entrance. You're right.
That's where you put your foot in.
Yeah, it's where your foot enters. So they in the shoe business, they call that a foot entrance. So that's more cowboy looking, right?
Well, yeah, like with cowboy designs on the... That's gross.
It looks like you can't decide whether you're a cowboy or you want to play basketball. It's somewhere in the middle, and you can't do both.
No, but this gets back to the women who had to play basketball in high heels.
Oh, the commercials?
The Easy Spirit or whatever those were. I'd like to see all men play basketball in these.
Impossible. All right, we'll take a break. Ryan will give you the news. And then an incredible, heartwarming story of adoption like none you've ever heard before. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. This is such an incredibly heartwarming story, and it combines an unlikely adoption and yes, lemonade. And if you can combine those two elements in any story, you got yourself a good one. We go right now to Springfield, Missouri. We're going to talk to not one but two people. Tristan Jacobson and Donnie Davis are both on the line. Hello, Tristan. Hello, Donnie.
Hi.
Now, I want to point out before anything else, Tristan, you're very young. You're 9 years old. Am I correct?
Yes.
And you're not at home today. You're in school. You're calling during your lunch break in school, right?
Yes.
Well, thank you for doing that. That's very, very nice of you.
What a good kid you are at 9 years of age. And you're fighting a big fight right now.
Thank
you. Oh, you're very welcome. Tristan, now, why don't you explain your situation? You've been living with Donnie Davis, correct? Donnie, maybe you can help fill in the blanks.
My mom had drugs, and Tiffany never took care of me. She had drugs.
Your mom had a little bit of a problem with drugs and wasn't able to take care of you, correct?
Correct.
That's your natural mother. Your birth mother was unable to. And you were very, very young during this. I don't even know, Tristan, could you possibly even remember that? Because you were such a small boy at the time.
I do remember it.
Yeah.
And so you have you've been living with Donnie Davis, who is your foster mother at this point, correct? We might have
Can you try that again, Donnie? We only heard a little part of that.
Let's put them on hold for a second, and let's try and call Donnie back. I think Donnie's got the bad line.
Oh, is that what's going on?
Yeah, because we couldn't hear her at all. And they're probably both on cell phones, because, again, Tristan is 9 years old, and he is on his lunch break from school, so
right.
I feel hurried.
Right.
We have to get this.
Well,
so
you know,
we
ask you to do things during the lunch break, and you just say, I'm not doing them. I refuse. So
it's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure.
Tristan, are you still on?
Oh, much better.
This is Donnie. Yeah, he just handed me his phone. I was just wanting to say I'm not actually his foster mother.
Well, why don't you explain this a little? Because we might be a little confused with this whole dynamic that's going on.
Yeah, I know. Somehow the story kind of got twisted a little bit, and they said that we were foster parents and Tristan was in foster care with us. That's not the case. I have a relationship with Tristan because I had a previous marriage.
Mm-hmm.
The man was, he had an affair with a 15-year-old, and the 15-year-old is Tristan's biological mom.
Mm.
He was indicted on gun charges when he's still in federal prison. He'll be there for a very long time. And so after that, I mean, we weren't together or anything whenever he got indicted. We had been split up for probably a year. But she didn't have anybody to help her with Tristan. So at 3 months, I took Tristan in and I raised him until he was 2.5. She was doing a lot better then. So he went back to live with her. He was, she had a job and she was going to school, you know, all the positive things in life.
But she's still pretty young at this point too, right, Donnie?
Yeah, she's still very young. I mean, she was 16 when she had him. So this is, you know, she's barely hitting 20 now.
Mm-hmm.
But she tried to take care of him and had a job and looked like she was showing some growth and getting her life together. And then what happened?
Then she got on drugs. Tristan was probably about 3.5. And it just started deteriorating from there.
All right. First of all, I can't believe what you have totally stepped up to the plate to take care of Tristan. This is your ex-husband's son with someone he had an affair with, a young teenager, and you guys have totally bonded. How long has Tristan been with you?
He's been back with us since he was 5, so we've had him back for 4.5 years.
And what are the thoughts of you wanted to adopt him, but is there some financial struggles?
Yeah, I mean, it was really hard financially. I mean, because, you know, we live on a very modest income. You know, we don't have an abundance of money by any means, and the adoption itself can be very pricey, especially if the adoption is contested at all. So
somebody figured out a way to raise money to make the adoption a reality. Whose idea was the lemonade stand?
It was kind of both of ours. This year we've like totally redone all of our finances. We've gone with the lowest on everything, on phone plans, on cell providers, on insurance, as much as we could reduce costs, we did it. And so I said, well, you know, we did all that with our bills. Let's go ahead and reduce everything that we have in our home. So I had planned this outrageous yard sale, and Tristan always wants to help. I mean, he always wants to be a part of every step of the adoption process. And because of that, I was like, okay, well, you've done a lemonade stand before. How about you do this? And so he was all gung-ho for it. And he would just, I mean, he loved the idea.
And the proceeds of this would go directly into the fund that would help it make it possible so that you could formally adopt him. Correct, Donnie?
Correct.
Yeah.
All right. If you go to youcaring.com and in the search bar, if you type in Tristan Jacobson, Tristan, T-R-I-S-T-A-N Jacobson, your goal was to get $5,000, and adoption processes are, you know, just the legal fees alone are going to be a lot of money. Plus, you know, you don't have a lot of money. You need to care for him in the best way you can. Your goal was $5,000. Do you know what you're up to right now on your YouCaring page?
I think this morning when I checked, we were at $23,000.
Yep, just under $24,000.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've already been in contact with a financial advisor because I want to, I mean, this is all Tristan's money. Every single penny of this is Tristan's money. So for his future, I want to be able to invest it wisely or put it in an account that will make him the most money. So when he turns 18, 21, whichever one, he has a nice chunk of money to go to school with or whatever he needs at that time.
How often is he doing the lemonade stand? Is it every weekend?
No, actually, that was the first time we did it.
It was.
Yeah, we're probably going to do two more yard sales throughout the summer to continue to raise money, and he'll do it then too. But that was the very first time that we did it.
You know, I have to say how sad it is to when we spoke to Tristan before you got on the line with us, and Bill was asking him about, you know, what happened with your mother, and he said, you know, well, she tried to take care of me, but she couldn't. She was using drugs, and Bill, you asked if he remembered it. He does remember this?
Yes, he has PTSD. So there's, from time to time, there's certain aspects of the abuse that he went through that reminds him of that, and he becomes very, very unstable at that time.
It's a lot. I mean, he's a 9-year-old kid, and as I'm sure you know, Donnie, that's a lot to know and have lived through. You know that.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and on top of his PTSD, he also has ADHD really bad. So, you know, kind of mixing the two in between, it's sometimes kind of hard for him to handle. But I will say this past year has been amazing. He has straight A's in school.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I can see the maturity level of him increasing, and I mean, it's just awesome.
And I'm sure there are school counselors and social workers that are helping him through it. I sure hope anyway, because it sounds like, you know, he may need someone to talk to that's not a relative.
Yeah, well, I have him in therapy. He's been in therapy for months now. He has completed a social skills class through another program that we have, and I was able to finally get an IEP for him at the school, and he's in a special class for that.
Independent education plan, where depending on your different needs, you can get extra help as necessary. That's what an IEP is, in case people don't know.
Right, and it was very, very difficult to get that because his IQ is very high and he's very smart. And I mean, we had to have evaluations and all, like it was a very lengthy process to get it approved on his emotional needs.
And Donnie, I know you don't do this to get praise, but good for you for following through and doing this. His situation could be dire at best if it were not for you. So you need to be commended for the work you're doing in all this, certainly.
Well, I'm telling when I got him at 3 months old, it was never about anybody else. It was about him. You know, here was a little baby that had nobody in this world that could take care of them or love them. And I bonded with him from day one, and I kept that bond with him. And, you know, I would look past who his mother was, who his father was, what they had done to me. I didn't care. It was all about Tristan. I mean, when he was with his biological mom and I knew that the bad things were going on, I would just lay in bed at night and my heart would just ache because I was just so scared for him.
Sure.
You are really what it's all about, being a great mother. And I hope you have the most wonderful Mother's Day of all, because really, what a great woman you are, Donnie.
Oh, well, thank you so very much.
And you mentioned, you know, you want to go through this process of officially adopting him if there is no, if no one contests it. Your ex-husband, does he have any problem with Tristan living with you? Do you think he's going to contest this?
He's in federal prison, and he would contest it just to make my life havoc, to say in a nice way. So
I hope you're getting some therapy too, Donnie, because really the things you've been through.
Yeah, I mean, it's been kind of hard, but, you know, I just deal with it. At a time in life, you know, I just, you know, kind of, and which is kind of what I'm letting Tristan to live, you know. Okay, something happened to you. Okay, we're going to heal from it, and we're going to deal from it, and then we're going to let it go.
That's such a healthy way to look at it.
That's what I'm trying to teach him in life. Yeah,
good.
These bad things happened, but they're not gonna hamper who you're gonna be whenever you're an adult. You're gonna be a successful man, and that's what he wants. He wants to go into the army, and you know he.
And he needs someone telling him that, Donnie. He needs someone to go, yeah, you know what? Life sucked for a while for you, but right now we got to turn this around and do the best that we can do.
It's the ultimate life gave him lemons and he's making lemonade. That's the one that people always say. You guys are living it.
Right. Wow. Yeah.
All right, we're going to give this page again. If anyone wants to help, it's youcaring.com, and then you can just look up Tristan's Adoption Fund, Tristan Jacobson. And really, I want to refresh here to see if any more people donated, but you asked for $5,000, and at this point, just under $24,000. This will all go to him. He can go to college. He can do whatever he wants because of you. You realize that, Donnie?
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of amazing that it's gone this far. I mean, here we are. I was hoping through the yard sale and everything to make $500 that weekend.
Well, it just shows when there's a story like this, people do want to come to your aid and help, and you deserve it. So good luck to you. Good luck certainly to Tristan. Tell him we said thank
you.
Well,
is he still there? Can we just talk to him real quickly?
Yeah, sure. Let me get him on real quick.
Thanks, Donnie.
Hey, Tristan.
Hello?
Hi, Tristan. It's Bill and Wendy here, and we just wanted to say we are so unbelievably proud of you. You've been through a lot. You've turned it around. You've got straight A's going.
Yep.
How about that?
What's better than that, Tristan? Good for you. And you're living with a lady who really seems to love you and care about you, so that's good news, isn't it?
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And Tristan, one final question before we let you go, and I know you have to go back to school. Do you like pink lemonade or just the regular lemonade?
I like both.
Yep. You got to keep an open mind.
You're
so
pretty
true.
Sweet. Good luck to you, okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Tristan.
Give
Take
your
care
mom
of yourself.
A big hug on Mother's Day.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Tristan. Tristan Jacobson and Donnie Davis, his legal guardian, and we certainly hope that has a very happy ending for both of them.
I can't believe that kid is only 9 years old and has been through so much and is just...
I know. It's shocking, isn't it?
Makes me want to cry.
It really is.
You're ruining my Friday, Bill.
Sorry.
Mr. Buzzkill.
Better things coming for everybody. It's us. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN. Ryan, thanks so much. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder, and we are joined, as we are almost every Friday, by Kurt Wagner. Kurt is the owner and proprietor of TVShowPatrol.com.
Just sounds so... He's CEO.
Sounds like he's the CEO of TV Show...
CE everything.
CE everything of TVShowPatrol.com.
And the COO.
Yep. He's the coup. There's so much to discuss with you, but first, I have to ask you, have you ever seen anything quite like what's playing out with Kelly Ripa and Michael Strahan? To make a very, very long story as short as I possibly can... Michael Strahan got a job over at Good Morning America and I guess didn't inform Kelly Ripa that he'd be leaving soon.
Apparently no one did.
No one did. No one on the show did. She didn't take too kindly to that. So even though Michael sat in on their show, she took a 3 or 4 day hiatus and then came back. People are criticizing her for leaving. People are criticizing her for coming back. They're mad at Michael Strahan. Everybody's mad at somebody. How did this happen all so quickly?
Well, you know, part of me says it's a personnel issue and it's none of her business anyway.
Yeah.
Like when I've left a job, I haven't told everyone.
Yeah.
But I would also feel, if this is my partner on the show, that, you know, I would feel a little bad about not saying. But it's kind of unprofessional not to show up for work, I still think. Although, you know, Mo Ryan, who, you know, has written about that it's just another example of the under, you know, how TV doesn't value women. And that she was mistreated, but I don't know.
I don't know. Was she really mistreated?
See, I still don't believe she was. I mean,
I think, Mike, and we discussed this before, you can't say something to screw up your deal when you're negotiating.
Right.
However, I felt he owed her the respect as a partner to say, listen, let me tell you something.
Right. And apparently she was told like 20 minutes before...
before airtime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so maybe that was mishandled. Maybe they could have done it at least the day before. I don't know.
I've read several accounts that they weren't getting along so well off air, and that contributed to this as well. Do you know if that's true or not true?
I mean, those rumors, you could, you know, I've read something about that he doesn't get along with the producer either.
Michael Gelman?
But, you know, who knows if that's true? I don't know.
Gelman is the producer, but he's on the air sometimes more than they are.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's true or not. But it's so weird with those shows, you know, that those hosts of shows like that. I mean, he was already doing stuff at Good Morning America
Right. So now the big talk is who will replace him. And now there were a couple stories I saw yesterday saying that she wants to leave the show now, too, that she doesn't feel she's been treated fairly, so she may walk as well.
Yeah, maybe they'll have to get two people.
So one of the names that keeps coming up is Anderson Cooper, who's extremely busy anyway. Ryan Seacrest's name has come up a little bit. Who
God,
else?
God, I hope it's not him.
I'm trying to think of who.
I'm so sick.
I don't want it to be.
Well,
Ryan
he would have
Seacrest
to move.
To,
I mean, that's just a New York based show. They would, you know, and he's got so much going on the West
Coast. Neil Patrick Harris is the other one. His name keeps coming up.
He'd
too.
Be great.
He's very, very talented.
He would be good too, but some of those folks, like Anderson Cooper, I can't imagine would want to do that.
So busy as it is.
Yeah, and unless he really wants to change his whole thing.
Well, he's already doing cable news. He's on 60 Minutes almost every week.
His own show too.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can't see him doing that, but you know, Neil Patrick Harris maybe, but you know.
That wouldn't be bad.
Yeah.
He's filled in a bunch. He
and, you know,
does a nice
I've already
job
thrown my hat in, but I haven't heard.
You said last week that you wanted
Is
the
that
job.
Where your hat is and why you're not wearing it?
You threw it in.
I threw it in there. Yeah. And they'll probably just crumple it up.
All right. I'm saving this part for last. I don't want to give this up.
You
I just said
are
to Wendy,
such a tease.
I don't want you to know what it is yet. But one of Wendy's favorite shows and one of my favorite shows is coming back. Don't divulge this yet. But speaking of comebacks, they've announced the cast list for Twin Peaks, which I think went off the air 25 years ago, didn't it? Or did it start? Yeah.
This isn't what you're talking about.
No, this is separate.
90-91.
Early 90 or 91.
I think it was those two seasons where it was two seasons and then there was a movie.
Yeah.
I've
Firewalk
been
with
out.
Me.
Yeah, that wasn't
That's
good.
Not the name of the movie. I'm asking you, Kurt, if you'd like to firewalk with me.
That was really lame and I was so disappointed. But I've been hanging with the Log Lady since 91.
Oh.
We have a good cup of Joe together and some donuts.
She's unfortunately passed away.
Oh, then someone
Last
is
fall,
faking her.
Somebody's pretending to be.
She's on the list. So I don't know if they, you know, they've been working on this since 2014. I don't know if that was just the writing of it and that kind of stuff because it's had some ups and downs, you know.
Right.
So I don't know if they have any new footage. I tried to get Showtime. It's going to be on Showtime. I tried to get them to tell me, but they would not divulge. They said all we can divulge is the list we sent you.
The cast list, as I look at it, it has some returning favorites, some people that were on Twin Peaks back in the early 1990s, and then a bunch of new people. And I have to say this. I'm not making this up. This is one of the most impressive cast lists of any TV show I've ever seen.
It's very bizarre because it's, you know, if this show is 10 or 13 episodes, which I think it is, that's a lot of people. There's 217 people on that list. That's a lot of people to cram into that many episodes.
Wow.
So I don't know if there's going to be some, you know, walking through, holding a gourd in the background or something.
Yeah.
But,
you got the lead, which was Kyle MacLachlan.
I thought we were just teasing this.
No.
Isn't the big one.
This isn't the big news. This isn't the. I already explained to you what I wanted to shock Wendy with later. The lead was Kyle MacLachlan back in the early days. He was Special Agent Dale Cooper. He's coming back. Now, Shira Lee, who played Laura Palmer, who the whole show is based on her character dying, she's coming back.
Right, but she was back even after Laura Palmer died because she played another character.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the other character's name. But
not Laura Palmer.
Yeah.
That was her name.
Laura Palmer lookalike.
Yes, right.
But was it her cousin or something? Was it like
Patty
maybe, Duke
something like
thing?
That. So, you know, she could be something completely different. Or maybe it's all flashback. Maybe there's some flashback stuff.
Maybe.
Who knows? It's shrouded in
Peggy
mystery.
Lipton is coming back.
Love her.
Peggy Lipton.
She's fantastic,
She is the mother of?
Of
Rashida Jones.
Yeah.
Because Peggy Lee and Quincy Jones.
Right.
Not Peggy Lee.
No, not Peggy Lee. Peggy Lipton.
Peggy Lipton.
Peggy Lee, that's a whole different bang.
Peggy Lee is also coming back to Twin Peaks.
No, Peggy Lipton and Quincy Jones had Rashida Jones, who was on The Office and that other show that I don't watch that she's on.
On Community.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that was...
Not Community.
Rashida Jones.
Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec.
Thank you, Ryan. Yeah.
Same thing, in my opinion. It's
different. All those people will be back. It doesn't say Michael Ontkean's name, who I like very much.
From the Rookies.
Yeah, from the Rookies and from Slapshot. Doesn't say his name. But let's go through some of the new people. Eddie Vedder will be on the show.
Eddie Vedder will be on?
He'll do the theme song.
You can gig with him.
I love Eddie Vedder.
Even though he's a Cubs fan?
Yeah, that's the only problem
that he has.
I could bring him over to the South Side.
Naomi Watts will be on the show.
Naomi Watts will be on. She's been in several...
worked with David Lynch in the past.
Well, yeah,
right?
It's an interesting mix of
I enjoy her.
Musicians and David Lynch collaborators.
Jim Belushi.
I'm not watching.
Wendy, come on, Jim Belushi.
He's a deal breaker.
Everybody loves
Trent Reznor.
Belushi.
Oh, that's cool.
Trent Reznor's on.
And
the Nine Inch Nails guitarist. And Trent Reznor's wife, Mary Queen.
No, I don't see... No, not of Scott.
Laura Dern.
Laura Dern will be on the show.
Love her.
Balthazar Getty.
Oh, I like his work. Do you know who he is?
Mr. Spaghetti?
Balthazar.
Balthazar Getty from Lord of the Flies.
Mm-hmm.
Heir to the Getty fortune.
Monica Bellucci.
Yeah, she will be on
Michael Cera. Ashley Judd.
I think when they got Jim Belushi, they meant to get Monica Bellucci, and they sent out the wrong postcard.
But then they got both.
Yeah, right, because once you send the postcard out, there's nothing you can do.
Right. Yeah. You know, one time I had Thanksgiving dinner at the table next to Jim Belushi.
Oh, you did?
In Chicago.
What was that like? Was that pleasant?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I just kept looking over.
Yeah. Hi, Jim Belushi.
Hi, Jim Belushi.
Hi.
How's the turkey?
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll talk more television with Kurt Wagner, the CEO of TVShowPatrol.com. No, you won't.
I like him and everything, but
he won't ruin it.
There are so many people on this list. He's probably not even going to be in.
He'll just blend right in. He'll be fine.
He cannot blend right in.
He'll be all right. Stick around. More show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kurt Wagner is the head honcho at TVShowPatrol.com. If you want to get something done, you talk to Kurt Wagner. He'll do it for you. Kurt, you know what I wish is that Sylvester Stallone had his own TV series.
Well, you're going to get your wish.
What?
Apparently. He is going to do a show, a mafia drama.
Oh,
the
I
guy
like
who
that.
Wrote the Godfather.
Yeah, Mario Puzo.
Mario Puzo and Antoine Fuqua.
Great director.
Can't say that on the air.
Very talented. You can say Antoine on the air.
Yeah, he did Training Day, yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
That's all you need to tell us. I'm in.
I believe. It's
Stallone playing a mafioso.
Yo,
so
that's the name of
I don't think it's been sold to a network yet. But
I'm sorry, Wendy. The title of the show is just Yo?
Yo. Because Adrian's probably not on it.
No, she's not in it. No, he's not playing Rocky. He's playing a mafioso.
Maybe his name will be Rocky.
Yo.
Maybe. And then can I finally divulge the secret that I've been holding back
from
Wendy?
Oh, my God, the secret.
Wendy, one of your favorite shows of all time is coming back, and it's coming back this summer.
The Ropers?
It's not The Ropers.
I don't know.
Were you hoping it was The Ropers? Match Game will be returning. That's right, Match Game. Now, in your wildest dreams, you could not imagine who they've chosen as the next host of the Match Game. Go ahead and try.
Jim Belushi.
It is not Jim Belushi.
No. God.
You could guess all day long. You would not come up with the answer. Although,
Norm MacDonald.
No, it's not. That would be good.
Wouldn't he be great?
He would be a good host on the Match Game.
Ow. That's a terrible
answer.
Only if
he was doing it as Colonel Sanders.
Right.
Oh, my God. Right. Daryl Hammond.
It's not Daryl Hammond.
He wouldn't be that good.
It's not Daryl Hammond.
Give me a hint.
He was in a show you mentioned just a little bit ago.
Does that help at all?
Was he in Twin Peaks?
No, he's never been in Twin Peaks. He will. I'll say this. He was known primarily for his work in dramas for a long, long time.
Neil Patrick Harris?
Not Neil Patrick Harris. Dreams. And then did a complete 180, and in addition to dramas, he's now also known for comedy. But he's not known as a game show host in any way, shape, or form. He's known as an actor.
I have no idea.
He's a friend of Tina Fey's.
Well, who isn't?
I guess you should tell her.
All right.
Tim Meadows.
It is not. It is Alec Baldwin will be the new host of Match Game.
He's going to be great.
I think so,
too. He is going to be great.
I really do. But it's such a departure. I mean, we always think of Gene Rayburn and the pornographically long microphone that he used.
That'll be back. You know it will be back.
You got to have that back.
It was this long pencil-thin thing with a tiny little ball at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, I never saw anything like it.
And he carried it around?
Oh, he
because right. This wasn't just a desk thing, right?
Oh, no,
he'd walk around with it,
and he'd hold it up to the guests to have them do their answer.
Yeah,
and he really finessed that little microphone.
It's so weird because the mics have been the same forever. Like, why wouldn't you use a standard mic? But for some reason, on that show, they used the one that it was like a yardstick with a furry top on.
I remember that.
Not before or after has anyone used that microphone?
Nobody.
Alec Baldwin is going to rock
it. I think so too.
Maybe he had small hands and he had to have the really thin.
I bet that's what it was.
The really
I bet that's
thin.
What it was. All right. So now what they're doing over at NBC.
ABC,
I'm sorry, is they're putting together a block for the summer of your favorite game shows.
Reimagine.
And what's it going to be? Who is it?
June 26th, starting June 26th on ABC, the Celebrity Family Feud, which had its first season last year, comes back.
Okay.
I can't remember who the host is.
And the host
is.
Is it Steve Harvey doing it? Or Steve Harvey, yeah.
And then...
you should take his job.
That's at 7. And then at 8 is the $100,000 Pyramid, which will have...
More than the $20,000 Pyramid.
Way more. Well, inflation.
Our buddy Michael Strahan.
Michael Strahan
will
is
be
hosting
the
$100,000 pyramid.
Yeah, the $100,000.
Why?
That's to make Kelly Ripa angry.
Right.
That's the only reason he's doing it.
She's his first guest.
How come there aren't any women game show hosts?
I don't know.
There really aren't, are there?
And the 9 o'clock is match game.
There was
Weakest Link.
There was Vicki Lawrence for a while.
What'd she host?
She hosted Pictionary. That's not good enough for you? She hosted
Pictionary.
Did Betty White used to fill in? Oh, no, she was always a guest.
What's
she was always
line?
A guest
her,
host.
Her husband.
The late Alan Ludden was on Password.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Meredith Vieira hosted
Wanna
Be a Millionaire.
Yeah. And the Weakest Link lady who always
right.
wore the suits.
The British yeah. lady.
Before Hillary Clinton did.
Right. Yeah, she gave all of her old clothes to Hillary Clinton.
Oh, and what's her face from Glee?
Who from Glee? Jane Lynch was hosting a show.
She still
at night.
Hosts that.
Is that still on?
Yeah, that's still on.
Okay.
On NBC.
I
there's
just
a
wondered.
Couple.
It seems like mainly guys.
But game shows, like, there was a time when we were all growing up where on any given day, Monday through Friday, you had 6 or 7 or 8 game shows on during the day.
Right.
They just don't do them anymore right. much.
I have Wheel of Fortune's still around. Has
yeah,
been around forever,
the syndicated
but
ones. Jeopardy's still on. Wheel of Fortune's
no
still
Joker's
on.
Wild.
Price is Right. In
no
fact,
split second.
The Price is Right yeah. is doing 3... primetime specials.
Is Drew Carey still
this
doing
summer?
That?
Yeah. He still hosts that. Yeah. He's good with that.
So they're doing some game shows at night. I mean, it's summertime, you know, some of the networks just go, we want the cheapest thing we can have to be on air.
I want your opinion on something. I saw on HBO last night, there's a movie about the Clarence Thomas hearings with Anita
Confirmation.
Hill. Confirmation. Did you get to see that by any chance?
I have not seen it yet.
You're going to like it.
But I hear it's really good.
It's really good. It's very well acted. If you were a fan of the O.J. Simpson miniseries that
and
was just
wasn't?
On, it's that kind of flavor, but without the element of overacting. You know what I mean?
I'm going to miss that.
I kept, well, that's the thing is, didn't you have a love-hate relationship
yes.
with the way they overacted?
Travolta changed my life in that as Shapiro. He
yeah.
really did. It bothered me, yet I couldn't wait to see it every week. And by the end, I loved
sure.
him.
Sure. So that's
he was in his own version of that. He was in his own little world.
Right. He was.
Right. His style.
He was in the comedy version of that.
Yeah. It was the Vinnie Barbarino, Robert Shapiro mashup.
Right. Right. But if you're a fan of that kind of thing and you like to go back, and it's hard to believe that it was that many years ago, and that Clarence Thomas is still a Supreme Court justice after all that you see yeah. during this trial, you go, well, there's no way in the world they're going to accept right. this guy.
Right. Well, I remember this trial. They aired this trial on TV.
Yeah.
And, even on Saturday, they had it on.
Yeah.
And because the well, it wasn't a trial. It was a Senate hearings.
Yeah.
Confirmation hearings. But I remember the whole, you know.
You know who's great in
the
this?
The Coke can thing and all the
stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
You know who's in
there's
this that's great?
There's a hair on my Coke.
Greg Kinnear is in it. He plays people. I hope people remember this. Joe
he plays,
Biden
he
played
plays
a,
our vice
an
president,
integral
yeah.
role. So it's young. He's playing young Joe Biden.
He was the
and he
committee
nails
chairman.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was the committee chairman. And Kerry Washington plays.
Anita Hill. Eric Stone Street's in it from Modern Family. It's like O.J. Simpson. There's all kinds of famous people just playing little bit parts in it.
Right.
You go, hey, that guy's playing him. It's really right. fun. Thank you, Kurt. We appreciate you being here.
Sure.
Kurt Wagner's website, again, tvshowpatrol.com. We'll find out what's on the Wintrust Business Lunch next. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Ryan, your forecast seemed a little negative. Just a little
Sorry.
Negative?
Sometimes I I let it kind of slip in, you know?
No, you got to be honest. I mean, you're a newsman, and you owe it to the tradition of newsmen to be honest. But Wendy, you heard it, too. You just sound so desperate overly.
We were blessed with some good weather.
We were.
Yeah.
But, you know, guys, it's coming back.
Sure, it'll come back, but we would like it to come back today.
It stinks when you get that little taste of it, though, you know? And then it's like, boom, back to February temperatures, you know?
Right.
Do you have a cold?
Yeah, a little bit.
Ryan doesn't zip up his windbreaker all the way. I've seen him. I've seen him out in the schoolyard with his windbreaker
unzipped. You know, this, by the way, is the effects of hard work, people.
Sure.
Remember, I was in Minnesota for Prince. I was at the Hastert thing.
Did Prince get you sick? Because his didn't end up very well.
No, I know. I was at the NFL draft late last night, and my body's telling me, dude, it's time to get some sleep, man. Yep. Come on.
Do you wash your hands enough?
I do. This
Hi,
is
this is Wendy, gut girl. Listen. Laugh all you want, but taking a probiotic, you get your germs from your hands. They did a study where you could make out with somebody with a cold.
Who?
Anyone who had a cold.
Just anyone at random?
And you could shake their hand, and you would get sick from the shaking the hand part.
That's more...
Totally.
Really?
I'm telling you, I wash my hands more than ever when I'm here at work. For some reason, we all share this, the computers, the keyboards, the mice. Your mouse is not working. Is it back to life? Did you resuscitate it?
No, it's broken.
Damn. I changed the battery. That didn't work.
My computer's down.
See, I think my body's just been breaking down because...
Ryan, that's what it is.
Yeah.
You got to take better care of yourself.
Now,
I know you're working hard, but...
Judy Pilak uses that news booth and... You got to wash your hands because I am amazed when in between shows, the first thing I do is I go wash my hands and I cannot believe how much dirt is on my hands
from being out here.
Yes. Because you're all sharing stuff. You're
dirt, like dirt just comes off your hands.
It's a white sink. I see gray liquid as I rinse my hands.
Cochran works on his car just before he does his show, so maybe
he's got
some
oil. Auto-tune-up shop here in the studio.
Nice.
I'm telling you, it is filthy.
He walks in with the rag. You know,
that's not uncommon.
Yeah, that's not uncommon
at all.
Hang on. Bill, you can't just grab any mouse and use it. It's synced to it. I just wanted him to change the battery again. Oh, maybe I put it in the wrong way.
All right.
Your mouse is completely broken.
Everything will be fixed soon. Yeah.
No, it won't.
I'm confident. I live a very confident lifestyle.
You demanded Jimmy DeCastro come down here.
Yeah, I said, because I don't know the line of authority, so my mouse is broken.
You go right to the top.
I said, bring in Jimmy DeCastro, and then Peter Liguori is, I guess, the head of Tribune Entertainment. I said, bring in Peter Liguori, let him know my mouse is not working. Because I would want to know. Wouldn't you want to know if there was a cog that wasn't working right? I'd want to know.
Are you the cog?
Yeah. I guess you can say that, yeah. I am.
All right, well, there's been a couple of sad deaths in the news.
Oh, this is sad. This is beyond sad.
But Kevin was busy helping you with your mouse, so I don't know if he's ready for...
We may have to postpone the sad news.
Can you be ready after the break, or are we ready now? All right. You tell your story, and I have someone else who died.
All right. And I want to say this, because I know if I was a listener to the show, I would say to myself...
Give a fake name when I call in, because if they mention my name...
I would say to myself, those guys are obsessed with death. And I guess to some extent we are, but you have to admit that this year, for some reason, and I don't know what it is, more people of note have been dying than I've never seen anything like this. Like every day, somebody or two somebodies or three somebodies that you go, oh, the guy who did that died? The girl who did that died? I don't know what's going on. There's no rest from it.
I don't think we're going to get rest from it until we're dead.
Well, I hope you're wrong.
I just hope the other shows report on our death.
And that's why I worry about Ryan running around without his windbreaker zipped up. I don't want to be reporting on Ryan. He's a young guy. I don't want that to happen. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we have sad news from the world of people who died. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. So a couple people, Wendy, from the world of doing important things have died. And this, it always makes us sad, and I've said this in the past, and you've agreed with me in the past, it's tragic that it takes death many, many times for us to realize the important contributions of these people. We should celebrate them during their lives, not talk about them after they've died, but sadly, we don't know that their time is limited, so we can only really pay tribute to them after they've died. Did you know that Les Wass has passed away?
Less is more.
Les Wass. He died at 94. Les is the guy who made Mr. Softy ice cream popular.
Did we have that around here?
Oh, yeah. The Mr. Softy truck?
Wasn't that the first soft serve?
I don't know if it was the first. Was it the first?
Mr. Softy. By the way, you don't really want to go around in life being known as Mr. Softy, do you?
Well, this was a long time ago. Now, of course, we have drugs. If this is a problem that you're having, there's a way
and
to correct
it. And you can put
that.
It in the ice cream.
Right.
Open up the capsule, sprinkle it on the top.
Right.
Think those are sprinkles? Nope.
Mr. Softy, no more. For millions, it says, who grew up in the Northeast over the past
50
years.
Did we grow up in the Northeast?
Well, we didn't, but I know we had, in Oak Forest, we had a Mr. Softy truck, and where I live now, I don't see it often, but every once in a while, I'll hear the Mr. Softy song.
Song?
Oh, yeah, there was a Mr. Softy song. Now, what I didn't know about Mr. Softy, and he's the guy, when you see his logo, it looks like something's wrong with his head, because he's half human, but he's also half ice cream swirl head.
That, I've never seen that before.
You've never
I have
seen
to
that
tell
ever?
You this right now. I'm looking at the logo right now. It's like, you know, a powdered wig of an old woman going to a ball.
Yeah.
But it's soft serve. I want to say that was the first soft serve we had around here.
But you've seen that logo. You've seen that
I have
guy.
Not seen
never?
That. I've never seen a guy with an ice
oh,
cream
man.
Head.
It's almost jarring when you see it, isn't it?
It kind
like
of
if you
is.
Saw, if you were walking down the street and you saw a guy who looked like that, like not an ice cream truck, but a man who was half human but also had an ice cream swirl where his head was, you'd scream bloody murder.
I'd call the authorities.
You'd have to.
Why doesn't somebody go as Mr. Softy for Halloween?
It's too scary.
It's
too scary for Halloween.
Yeah, it's ice cream. You scream ice cream, we all scream for ice cream. Why would we be frightened?
Even
scream. It's right there in the word.
It's in the word.
I guess.
Kevin's right. All right, so forever, when I would see the Mr. Softy truck, there'd be a song playing, and it was unrecognizable to me, and I didn't realize that the song that the Mr. Softy trucks played was based on a commercial, because I don't think we had this commercial here, but here's the commercial for Mr. Softy ice cream that ran for 50 years. Listen to this.
Here comes Mr. Softy, the soft ice cream man. The creamiest, creamiest soft ice cream you get from Mr. Softy. For refreshing delight supreme, look for Mr. Softy.
My milkshakes and my sundaes and my cones are such a treat. Listen for my store on wheels jingling down the street.
The creamiest, creamiest soft ice cream you get from Mr. Softy. For refreshing delight supreme, look for Mr. Softy. S-O-F-T-E-E, Mr. Softy.
It sounded like Dennis Hastert was in that commercial.
Mr. Softy is no longer with us, Wendy. 94 years old. He will be missed.
I have never had a
you
Mr. Softy.
You never heard that song? Like that song? You didn't hear that? Na 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 na. You'd never heard that song on your block ever?
We had the Good Humor Man. Mr. Softy and the Good Humor Man, despite the name Good Humor, were at war.
You guys had a territory war with the ice cream men?
I never had Mr. Softy growing up in Brookfield. We had the Good Humor truck, which I'll always played. Is it called Turkey in the Straw?
Like that?
What is that?
It's Turkey in the Straw, Turkey in the Hay.
No, I think that's Green Acres.
Oh.
Can you find Turkey in the Straw?
Turkey in the Straw, Turkey in the Hay. That song, right?
Maybe that's not the one then.
Oh, yeah. I think they play that.
Maybe it was Camptown Ladies.
They do play Camptown. Camptown.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Yeah, they play that sometimes too.
I don't know if this is the right one, but this is what I found.
All right, let me hear. No.
That's not it at all.
This is Jimmy Buffett's version of Turkey in the Straw.
Wait, I have another. Hold on.
But none of those songs have any correlation to ice cream.
No.
Camptown Races has no correlation.
I don't think
to
it was
cream.
Camptown Races.
No, I know that one
maybe
of our
Mr. Softy did it.
Maybe. I don't know. This is it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is it.
Yeah, this is Turkey in the Straw.
Yeah.
You know the words? Oh,
I don't know.
Here we're going to learn them.
This is it. They play this part.
This sounds like the Elmo song.
It does a little bit.
This is way better than Mr. Softy.
Well, but we didn't know there was there was like background. Like, I didn't know there was background to that song. I just thought they were just playing some silly song at random.
You didn't know it was the Mr. Softy song? They were saying Mr. Softy in it.
No, it was all instrumental when I heard it. There were no lyrics at all.
Yeah, because there's no lyrics that when the Good Humor Man plays the jerk and the
just
straw. I didn't know there were lyrics.
I was shocked to hear you knew that. Oh, yeah. That's a beautiful song.
Oh, we have to meet someone. Someone we should know, I believe, on the line right now. Sandy, something special we're going to find out about you.
I used to drive a Mr. Softy truck when I was in high school. Oh, that was my job.
I envy you, Sandy.
Did you make any profits? Because if I was driving that truck, it would be hard not to suck that Softy down.
Yep.
Well, yeah, I had a hot fudge sundae every day.
How could you not?
I know. It was just, the hot fudge was just cooking in there, and it was wonderful. Oh. So every day, that's what I would have.
What was your route? Sunday. Like, what towns did you go through?
I lived in Bolingbrook, and so I did mostly Bolingbrook, and then some of Romeoville, and then we eventually expanded into, like, Aurora, that area. But then I got out of Aurora because it got a little rough.
From the Good Humor people. Yeah. There was a turf war, as Wendy pointed out.
Well, there was turf wars, but it wasn't ice cream.
Oh, it wasn't. Oh. But how big at its largest was the Mr. Softy fleet? That's a question I've never asked any guest on the show ever before. How many trucks were you guys up to?
The owner that I worked for had two.
But in the area, in the southwest suburbs.
I never saw it in Brookfield.
You never saw it.
Oh. I'm telling you.
Well, this was probably 75, 76, 77, and 78
yeah.
when I drove.
Those were the prime years for Mr. Softy.
I was in junior high. I was into boys by then. Yeah. I didn't care about Mr. Softy.
That's sad.
And that song was horrible. It played in the truck, and I could never get that song out of my head.
You heard it in your sleep, I bet.
Oh, my God. It was horrible.
Well, I'm glad we could put it back in your head, at least for today, Sandy.
Well, I didn't know there were words to it.
Yeah.
I didn't know there were words to it because we just had this chime thing that played over and over and over. So,
Sandy, we're sorry for your loss.
Hey, can I just ask a Mr. I have to ask a Mr. Softy question.
Yeah.
Was it soft serve that you would, you know, put it under the spout and make it fresh right there, or was it like a pre-made Mr. Softy with a coating on it?
No, it was a liquid. It looked like a milk container that you pour into the machine, and then it would freeze up. And then when you're making the ice cream cones or the sundaes, it had the little nozzle you pull down, and then ice cream comes out, and it stopped.
And it was good, right?
Oh, yeah, it was very good.
Only two flavors, though, right? Chocolate and vanilla? You didn't go deeper than that.
And the zebra. You didn't have the zebra?
Yeah, we had a twist.
You did.
Also, the chocolate vanilla twist.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, is this the obviously Dairy Queen was around by then, too, so they weren't the first soft serve.
Dairy Queen, Tasty Freeze, and maybe a couple of others by that point. But
yeah,
they were so good.
We didn't have any of those places out by us, so the Mr. Softy truck was the only.
You get Mr. Softy or nothing. That's it.
I would take it.
Yeah.
All right. Nice to meet you, Sandy. Have a good one.
You too.
Happy weekend. There was a Mr. Softy somewhere near you, I believe. Is this Al?
Yes, this is Al.
So you drove a Mr. Softy truck as well?
No.
What did you do?
He followed one in his car.
Oh.
They used to come to my block at the same time every night.
In what town?
I lived in Blue Island, and so did the people who had the truck. They had about 10 trucks.
But the
generators would go bad.
Oh.
They got too costly to repair the generators that gave the electricity to the ice cream machine.
Oh, no.
So then it'll be Mr. Really Soft.
Right.
Mr. Spoiled.
Mr. Liquid.
Right. Oh, no. But not anymore, right? Are they gone from the area, Al, as far as you know?
Yes.
Do you know? They are gone. Oh, that's too bad.
Gone from the area a long time ago because, you know, nobody would rebuild those things. The profit for ice cream probably didn't outweigh what the trucks cost.
I'm sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for checking in, Al. Strolling down memory lane.
You missed out on all of this.
I love soft serve. That is I'd rather have that than any kind of ice
cream
ever.
Would you really? Yeah.
Yes.
Huh.
And just vanilla. I am so lame.
That's adventurous.
We have news coming up, and there's another death in the news that I think we should talk about. I don't even know if you know who it is.
I don't know who it is.
All right, well, you will be shocked.
We'll get to that. Also, your chance to win a fantastic vacation getaway to Wisconsin through Bailey's Harbor Yacht Club Resort. That's coming up before we get out of here. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We've got a full house here today, Bill.
Yeah, there's
a lot of people
in the studio.
It's my pleasure.
It's like the Rokan show. There's somebody at every mic.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Burrow has joined us.
Hello.
Hi, Ryan.
I need to take that elevator ride. Holy cow.
Are you okay? Do you want to just sit back for a little bit?
No, I'm good.
You sure?
It's really hard to get the mic back from him this afternoon. I mean, he's kind of settled in this morning with you guys.
Very comfortable.
Yeah.
Yep.
Felt pretty good.
People are dying to work with us, as we'll find out later on. All right, so something that's in the news involving the whole Dennis Hastert thing that was going on. You were covering that over at the
Turks and Federal building.
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And now the plot thickens. There's an area that doesn't want any memorialization of Denny Hastert.
Well, here's the thing about it. Bolingbrook, right?
Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful village of Bolingbrook in the suburbs. They've got a road, actually a boulevard. It's called Hassert. H-A-S-S-E-R-T, Hassert Boulevard.
Okay, mm-hmm. Then it isn't even it. Then they don't have a leg to stand on.
Well, and that's the problem. But the mayor of Bolingbrook has been getting, for the last 2 days, nothing but phone calls and emails saying, you got to change the name of the road. You got to change the name of the road. Here's the thing about Hassert Boulevard. It's actually named after the Brent Hassert's family. He's been a longtime former state rep. His family has a long history in not only Bolingbrook, but in northern Will County. And that's why the road was named the way it was. No relation between the two.
And
spelled
not the same
differently.
Name.
Just similar.
Exactly. But you know, people drive through and they look up at that name and you know, the first thought is, as we heard from the judge, serial child molester, as the judge said, you know. So everyone is obviously trying to distance themselves as far away from Denny Hastert as possible. We've seen the portrait already taken down from the U.S. Capitol, you know, former House Speaker. You know, there have been rumors, although it hasn't happened yet, of his award being taken out at the Hall of Outstanding Americans, the wrestling wing of the wrestling museum. Remember, he was a wrestling coach, and people have said, well, wait a minute here, he should be pulled down from there as well. So as everyone tries to distance themselves, Bolingbrook people seem to think that road needs a name change, but the mayor,
that's not going to happen.
The mayor has put up signs that read that it's a different guy. And it is not the same guy, and he said that those signs will remain there until he stops getting the phone calls and emails.
That sign is going to remain there forever because it's not even it. I thought this was like an honorary Dennis Hastert way or something like that.
No, that would probably be long gone if it was. But no, it's something completely different. But Brent Hastert is still with us. And he's obviously...
He earned that name.
He absolutely did. And his family earned that name. And he's obviously very upset about, you know, what this has all turned into.
But it does bring up the question. And in this case, I get it because that's a different guy. Mm-hmm. It's a similar name, but it's a different guy. But when somebody does something awful and they're convicted of a crime, even though they've been honored in the past, do you somehow retract those honors?
We've been seeing this a lot with Bill Cosby, right? Bill Cosby's the one that comes
to
mind.
At Disney.
The one in Orlando, you saw the statue.
Is that MGM?
I think it's called the Disney Studio theme park now, I think.
It's not Magic Kingdom. It's a different park. And they had busts of Oprah and Betty White. Mm-hmm. And I took my picture with Bill Cosby right after this broke.
Yeah.
Because I remember telling you when I got back that I was surprised it was still up.
Sure.
And it took a while, but it's gone.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, is it helping or hindering your business, you know? And for a lot of these colleges and universities that have given Bill Cosby awards or honors, many of them have said, you know, going to take
can we
that
have it back?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at some point, an award is just a, you know, a piece of wood or a piece of glass. But, you know, I mean, the honor of having like a wing named after you or an award at a Hall of Fame, you know, I mean, it sometimes, you know, the respect for whatever the profession is, you know, plays a role at some point.
On the show yesterday, we were contemplating whether or not Dennis Hastert and his family would still or should still be receiving some sort of a pension Now, that's been in the news a little bit over the last day or so.
Yeah, there's one state senator that wants to take that away. It turns out he is getting about $28,000 a year just on his state, his role in state government,
right,
that he had. And, yeah, there is an effort underway right now to pull that funding.
What do you think will happen there?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, these things have to get hammered out. Yeah, I mean, remember, he also had a pension as a teacher and, yep, and a wrestling
well,
coach.
Well, that should definitely be pulled.
Had a pension as a congressman, you know, as a federal worker. So, I mean, he's got a lot of different pools that he's pulling from. And, you know, everyone's got their own board, their own separate board. We saw this, we're seeing it with Glinowitz, right?
So yeah.
We saw it with
former hero turned.
Speaking of Bolingbrook,
yeah,
we saw it with Drew Peterson, right?
Yeah.
With his pension as well. So, you know, sometimes these take a little bit of time, but we'll see.
Something we were discussing off the air, I can't remember if it was today, I think it was this morning. You know, you get people who say, but Dennis Hastert did a lot of good in his time too. How do you even figure that out in your head? Because as Bill, you said to me, if you did like some great things in your lifetime, but then you murdered your family.
That was one cancels out the other.
That was the defense's argument, is, you know, he admits to doing these wrong things, but look at what he's done in his life. Look at, you know, how he was a leader following 9/11.
But he shouldn't have even been in that position to be a leader had he been found out of what he was doing prior.
Exactly, and that's what federal prosecutor Zach Farden said. He said if he had been called to the carpet in 1968 when this was all started, there's no way he would have been a teacher. No way he would have been a congressman. No way he would have gotten up to the ranks of House Speaker. So, you know, I mean, it's one of these things we'll never know. It's the Monday morning quarterbacking.
And then also there is some discussion about possibly altering the statute of limitations on crimes like this. I hope so badly that happens. Is this just, you know, a lot of times when there's a major case like Hastert's case, there's a lot of talk that flares up. And then
Lisa Madigan's out to make that happen.
She wants to make it happen. Realistically, though, will we see that anytime soon, do you think?
You know, I mean, there are always these kind of situations. And, you know, I don't think it would be possible to retroactive it, you know,
right,
to go back. But, you know, if this is
it
a constant
would be from
problem
this point forward, yeah, when the law is enacted.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, the one thing that leaders of the group SNAP, which does represent these kind of victims, have said is, you know, a lot of times they don't come out until, you know, they're in their 40s and 50s.
Sure.
And, you know, there's got to be a way to make them either feel more comfortable coming out earlier or, you know, giving them some kind of response or ability to push forth some kind of legal, you know, avenue deeper into this, you know, decades later.
I don't think the pressure should be on the victim to come out earlier. What they're going through, we can't even imagine.
No.
But the pressure should really be on the lawmakers to realize these are such awful crimes that last for decades afterwards. And press the fact that those statute of limitations need to be eradicated.
And a lot of times we don't know the effect on someone's life until,
right,
you know, decades later.
Right.
You know, I mean, the gentleman who testified, individual D, who was later confirmed to be Scott Cross, you know, said that he hadn't told anybody. I mean, he's got a family now, obviously has done very well for himself. But,
yeah,
you know, it's been something that's kind of eating away at him in the back of his mind for years and years and came forward eventually with it. Did it have any long-term impact on his life? We don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, he seems to be.
He hasn't discussed that.
Yeah, I mean.
But how could it not? Something like that, I can't imagine it not having long-term impact on your life.
You know, but on the other hand, too, it was one very awkward situation, and we've all had very awkward situations when we were teenagers, and, you know, it's hard to explain. It really, really is. I mean, it's going to impact different people in different parts of their lives, too. If you've,
yeah,
been a victim before, this is going to add to it. If you had never, you might say, that was just kind of a weird point in my life, and you can move on. So, you know, everyone is impacted differently, that's for sure.
But the bottom line, in Bolingbrook, Hastert doesn't appear to be changed. I mean, people might think Hastert, but it's two different things. Do you know what I call Finkston Road? I can't say it on the air.
I don't
Everybody
think
says that. But I mean, you have something that sparks a reaction,
sure,
but it's not Hastert.
No, Hassert, both spelled and
similar but
differently.
Different.
Yeah.
Can we take, I'm very curious about Nina's phone call. Do we have a
Can
minute?
Can we take a break and talk to her?
Yeah, Nina, stay on the line. We've got a call or two. We're 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right, we're talking about Dennis Hastert, and he was sentenced to 15 months in prison and 2 years of supervision, I believe, after that. Ryan Burroughs in the studio with us, Bill and Wendy. And Bolingbrook has a street named Hastert, and people are overreacting and saying we have to get rid of this street because it's too close to Hastert. Mm-hmm. Do we know, did we get the outcome of that? Nothing's going to happen. They're not.
Well, no, they're not going to change the name. Okay. They're going to keep. They've actually posted these signs up. Hastert Road, explaining that there's a difference
not
between the
guy.
Two names. Yeah, exactly. And if you go to the Village of Bolingbrook website, they've got a message up there too. That essentially,
is the sign big enough, Ryan, to read as you're driving past? Or
it's a blue and white sign, and it's attached to a light pole. And
it just says it's a different guy.
If you're sitting at the red light, you could probably see it. Right. If you're flying through at 50 miles an hour. Probably miss it.
Dangerous.
And we brought up whether or not Dennis Hastert should be entitled to his pension that he had earned. And there's a lot of thought on this. And Nina, you have a thought.
I guess my concern is, as guilty as he is and certainly unworthy of his pensions, I am concerned about his wife and in other cases where they have younger children and they're completely unaware of this having gone on. She's late in life. It's pretty hard to make up for whatever she thought that they had in retirement because of what he did.
So you're penalizing essentially not so much Dennis Hastert. You're penalizing him to some extent, but you're really penalizing his wife, his family, his kids, right? That's what you're saying?
This was the Rod Blagojevich argument, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
wasn't
this when they said, well, you can't put him behind bars for too long. Remember, he's got a wife and kids to support.
Yeah.
But you know what? You should be thinking about that when you're doing
yeah, but
bad
she
things.
Doesn't know about it.
He committed those crimes before
he
was married to Jean
her.
Or had the kids, so that is tricky.
And, you know, with 401ks, which is like a pension as well, you know, sometimes your company contributes. Maybe they can figure out how much the state contributed, and anything that they contributed goes back to the state, and then whatever his private investment was, he could keep. It's a tough situation, but, you know, at the end of the day, everybody tries to be a good person, and this is what happens when you break the law and do terrible things to people. Unfortunately, your family is affected as well. But I hear what you're saying, Nina. It's not her fault or his kids.
They're victims, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you
very
much.
Thanks, Nina.
Thank you for... Love your show. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I don't know what the right or wrong answer is. Do you?
No, because there isn't one. I mean, you certainly, I know his wife and his kids have already been punished. They have been. They didn't know this was coming. Right?
I mean, it ruined their name, and the judge admitted that. I mean, this is going to ruin, you know, it's not only ruin his name, but it ruins the family name.
Wendy, you've talked about this before when, sadly, every once in a while, we'll get a kid or a couple of kids that go on a streak, a horrendous murder streak or something, and you always say, I feel so bad for his parents because what could they have possibly have done? So,
but there's a whole school of thought where people say, you know, you're responsible for what your child does. But we've learned time and time again, you could be the best parent in the world and teach them right from wrong for their whole life, and something goes haywire.
Right, right.
Look at the Slender Man thing in Wisconsin there. Those girls that, you know, were obviously enticed by a fictional online character.
Yeah.
You know?
And, I mean, God forbid, you know, our hearts go out to the victims, that first and foremost. But imagine those girls' parents. That's...
Right.
They're just as shocked as we are when we hear the news.
Sure.
I believe John is on the line. Hi, John.
Hey there, Wendy and Bill and Ryan. Thank you very much for bringing this subject up once again. I am a grateful survivor of abuse at an early teenage age. It's just to address what Ryan says, you know, I can't know or begin to know, you know, whether this will affect the people that Mr. Hastert abused. I guarantee you, everybody that's been through this, it affects you. It affects your trust. It affects your friendships. It affects, you know, a lot of decisions that you make. And these are all absolutely things that that I went through. So I'm speaking, you know, from my heart. It absolutely has a major effect on you. And what Bill had just brought up about, you know, just the how high things go or who knew and things like that, you know, and the movie Spotlight, this went to a very high degree. It was a priest, and that priest rose to an extremely high level, just as Mr. Hastert did. So, you know, those types of things, you feel as a victim that I can't approach this person. I can't make those accusations. Because
no one would believe you at that point, John. It seems like, you know, I understand. And that's a terrible thing to keep inside, to not be able to come forth and say something just because you think no one's going to believe you. That's got to be the worst feeling on earth.
Exactly, Wendy. It's, you know, who am I to accuse somebody who is, you know, in their regular priestly functions, are seen as, you know, the person sitting next to God, and who am I to say that? So I just had to internalize it, and it was a very hurtful and damaging thing, you know, throughout my entire life.
John, have you been able to move forward a little bit? You're getting some help. You're healing or continuing to heal now?
Yes. And it, you know, yes. Psychologists and that's certainly helpful to just talk about those things and support groups. And actually, you know, the Archdiocese has been very good about trying to address, you know, the abuses and things like that of people that have shared or been through what you had gone through, and you can share those types of things, and that's very cathartic.
And we need to talk about it. And I imagine you have a good feeling in your heart for Scott Cross, who came forward to bring this up because he wanted to give people a voice, and anyone who's been abused should be able to talk about it without fear of us not believing you.
Absolutely amazing, and thank you. Thank you very much for saying that, and I truly, truly believe that to be the case, and good for him, and I hope that I sent some messages to some of my other people at Goldie's groups. I said, you know, great for him, because what he was able to do will help a number of people to maybe take that chance and ask for help.
John, continued healing for you. We appreciate
Thank
your call
you
very
much.
Thanks, John.
Have a great day.
You too.
You too.
Thank
have a nice
you, John.
Weekend. But that's just it. You know, like years ago, would people take someone on the radio to say, I've been abused? You know, I'm assuming it had something to do with a priest, the way he was talking. Mm-hmm. But we've got to talk about it. Got to talk about it. It's going on. You can't keep sweeping it under the rug.
True. Ryan, thank you.
No I
appreciate
problem.
It. That's Ryan Burrow from upstairs in the newsroom. We're going to take a quick break. Steve with the news, and then a lot more show ahead. Your chance to win a great vacation getaway. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Hey, still to come, we'll give you a chance to score a two-night stay. I don't have any of my information
Wendy,
today.
Wendy, it's at Bailey's Harbor Yacht Club Resort, the premier resort there in Door County in Wisconsin. I've been there myself. My family and I went, and we loved it, and you're going to love it, too. You can go there on your own, certainly. You got a chance to win a nice trip coming up sometime between now and the end of the show, which is in less than an hour.
All right, well, we have another death in the news.
Oh, no. Well, we warned people. We said earlier when we announced that the man who made Mr. Softy famous had died, we said, and there's somebody else who died too.
Which, I'm sorry, I on behalf of the Mr. Softy family, I apologize for my statements that might sound a little cold.
Oh, because it's ice cream, I get
no,
it.
Oh, no.
I get it.
Wow, you're good.
But I didn't know Mr. Softy. I didn't have a Mr. Softy.
You're pretending.
And he was 94 years old.
Well,
so God rest his
What guy wants
soul.
To be known for Mr. Softy?
That's, we already did.
It was an empire.
Listen to the show.
It was
we
an empire.
Did that earlier.
How long are you on, all day?
No, feels like it.
Oh.
But this guy, if I may tell you,
yes.
You're not going to know his name, but what he did affected in some way, each and every one of us.
Everybody here, everybody listening,
everybody
is affected
listening
by this person's
in some
life.
Way, shape,
All
or
right.
form. Philip Kives.
I don't know who Philip Kives is.
Philip Kives.
Nope.
He was 87 years old, lived a rich, full life. And he Well, he touched each and every one of us, and here's one way he touched us.
Are you fed up with constantly searching for the records you want? Are you tired and frustrated from always straightening out your LPs? Now with KTEL Record Selector, this will never happen again. To choose your favorite music, tilt the first record forward. The others follow automatically. Pick your selection when it appears. To choose more LPs, lean the next record forward and record. Wait for your choice. The Record Selector is a new space-age design for selection and storage of records. Fingertip control regulates the speed of Record Selector. To replace the records, tilt the first record forward. Record Selector, with a mind of its own, will automatically stop where the LP was taken from. End awkward selection and storage of LPs with Record Selector. Attractively finished in a gift box. KTEL Record Selector, only $3.99.
It's a bargain at twice the price.
Okay, so I didn't
get the K in,
yes,
in KTEL?
Yes, Philip Kies.
Oh, man.
The TV pitchman, the tireless TV pitchman whose commercials implored viewers to wait, there's more.
Yeah.
He was hospitalized with an undisclosed illness. He died yesterday at the age of 87. Kives became, again, Philip Kives, you wouldn't know that, but he became wealthy after founding marketing company KTEL International, which sold Miracle Brush hair removers. I had one.
Yeah.
Vegematic vegetable slicers and the compilation albums with such titles as Goofy Greats.
Yeah.
Along with numerous other products. I like to think he was the first person to put together the compilations.
I had the plastic record cleaner. You
oh,
know,
from KTEL, oh, sure.
Was that KTEL where you'd put it in? It was like brown and it would spin the album around?
Oh, that was a disc washer.
Okay.
But I don't think still, that was a KTEL.
It wasn't?
I don't think so.
I thought that was. I thought they sold it. I had the Inside the Egg scrambler. Wasn't that KTEL?
Oh, my God. Did you love that? It would make a little tiny pinprick and
right.
then the little wire in there would whip around so then you could crack the egg and it would be already scrambled.
Right. That, I believe that was KTEL, wasn't it?
It was.
Was that space age technology as well?
Well, really addressed a real need, didn't it?
it was not that good, but we all ordered it.
But
the
anytime,
Pocket Fisherman.
Well, that was Popeil.
Nope.
No?
I'm telling you, I know it says Ron Popeil, and I don't know what the connection is here, but for a generation of teenagers in the 60s and 70s, Kives' legacy was a long list of compilation albums with hit songs that were sometimes edited down to fit 20 or more cuts onto two sides of vinyl.
That's true.
Totally shortened. You hear of a radio edit? This was the Philip Kives edit.
Right. It was. They were a lot shorter when you get them on KTEL than the regular records. A lot shorter.
For instance, you'd find the Bay City Rollers song Saturday Night on the same record as country singer Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
And the Drifters were on there, too. Novelty songs, compilations such as Goofy Greats featured, you know, the song about a one-eyed, one...
Horned flying
purple people
yeah.
eater.
Yeah, yeah,
itsy
yeah.
bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini, and everybody heard about the bird. Mm-hmm. Bird.
I have the Kives and Popeil connection, if you're curious.
What
yes.
is that?
Kives bought and marketed a number of other products from Seymour Popeil, father of Ron co-founder Ron Popeil, such as the Dial-O-Matic and so on and so on.
Oh, that's the tie-in. All right. But as Kevin pointed out, try saying no to something that uses either space-age technology or space-age design.
Polymer.
That's what I'm wondering. Like, how many things were advertised as space-age technology?
Everything.
And when is the space age? I'm wondering now.
I think it already happened.
It's past.
All right. There was also some kind of skillet he sold, because I remember, can you cook on a diamond ring? And the woman would have her finger with
right.
a fake big diamond, and they'd crack an egg on her hand.
Right.
And then underneath would be this space-age polymer skillet
yeah.
that you could cook eggs on that you whipped up with that little thing. And then you'd get fish with the pocket fisherman.
Oh, yeah. You couldn't go wrong.
Do you remember the biggest music seller? And I remembered this, Hooked on Classics. It sold more than 10 million records. It was classic rock.
I remember
oh, I
that's
hope
how
that
the,
wasn't it.
That's how the commercial would start.
Wow.
So he's gone.
He is totally gone.
Well,
Philip
this...
Kives. You didn't know his name, but...
I'm shocked that a guy that was that great at marketing didn't have his name more at the forefront so that people would know he was the guy behind all
what,
that.
What, like Trump?
Not unlike Donald Trump, where you like if something has his name on it, you know it. You know he's behind it.
Philip Kives was a little more humble. He's like, I'm going to put KTEL.
Yeah.
You know, the K stands for Kives.
Yeah, I
but
guess
no
that's
one really
enough.
Has to know.
Yeah.
It slices, it dices.
It makes julienne fries in a fraction of the time.
You know, I never had the Vegematic or Slice-O-Matic.
Oh, you missed out. That was a miracle. A miracle. All right. Well, we will miss you, Philip Kives.
And Mr. Softy.
We will miss both of you.
They're hooking up right now, getting a new product together.
Right. Space Age.
Wait, there's more. No, too late.
It's too late. All right, we'll take a quick break. Your chance to win a fantastic vacation through Bailey's Harbor Yacht Club is coming up in just moments. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
And I have to tell you, Bill, Philip Kives, the KTEL founder and Wait, There's More infomercial king, dies at 87. He definitely gave that bit to SNL, the Bass-O-Matic.
Oh, without a doubt.
So he should be proud of
that. Yeah, that's influenced by KTEL. Absolutely.
That was the most disgusting live TV ever when Dan Aykroyd put fish in there.
In a blender.
And it was just bloody and gross.
Yeah.
And then he drank it.
Yeah, then he drank it. And they reprised it a little bit on the 40th anniversary show last year. On SCTV, Dave Thomas used to play a character who was the spokesperson for KTEL products, and his name was Harvey KTEL.
Oh, that's right.
A parody of Harvey Keitel, the actor.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, well, Jimmy Mack is out of town this weekend, and the boys have something to do, so I am going to treat myself to a little pre-Mother's Day shopping spree.
Where are you headed?
My favorite place. I like going to the fashion outlets of Chicago, and that's where I got my Converse All-Star wedges that are 3 inches tall and really lovely. And there's a sales guy here, Brad, who had the coolest suit on. And I know you don't typically wear suits.
Right.
But this was a black suit and a very slight hint of a red plaid going on. And I said, where did you get that? Oh, over at the outlet malls. I said, what's the name of the store? It's a place called Sarar.
Oh, he
I've
goes
never
to
heard
Sarar,
of it.
Does he?
And
yeah.
He ended up buying 3 suits, and I would like to get you a hip suit.
All right. Usually, if you see me in a suit, it means that you have died. So,
which is a trick.
Right.
That is not true.
I must be dead.
I have seen you at the WGN Walk of Fame.
Well, sure, because people like Steve deserve me dressed dressed the best. But normally, under usual circumstances, somebody has passed away.
Well, let's face it, a couple of the inductees had already died.
Right, that's true, too. Yes. That's very sad, but true. Yeah.
Well, that's...
But I'd be into that. That's at Sarar, they sell that?
Yes, Sarar.
All right. Usually, my mom would just take me to Robert Hall Village, and we'd pick out a nice suit.
That's long gone, Bill. But Fashion Outlets of Chicago, I have to tell you, this is the coolest parking lot I've ever seen. It's free parking. It's humongous. And you drive in and it looks like Christmas because there are red and green lights everywhere.
Oh, nice.
It indicates, the green light indicates an open spot. So you don't have to keep driving around. You can
that's
just look
genius.
Down the row.
Yeah, that's really
it's
good.
It's pretty great. So I'm going to go shopping this weekend, Fashion Outlets of Chicago in Rosemont, 130 designer outlets, and I like to have a couple of cocktails as I shop.
You'll be easier to find that
way. So excuse me if I bump into you people. That's all I want to tell
you. Hey, I bumped into Wendy Snyder shopping.
Literally.
I mean, I literally bumped into her.
Still to come today, we are going to give you a chance for a two-night stay in a one-bedroom courtyard suite. That's what it is, Bill. It's more than just a one-night
stay.
Oh,
yeah.
It's a two-night stay in a one...
Steve, it's a two-night stay, Steve.
Oh, my God.
Steve was excited about the one-night stay, but a two-night stay is twice as good.
My microphone was on.
That's all right.
The best was you left early the other day. Hang on. You left early one day because you were on secret special assignment.
Yeah.
And what was it, Kevin? I said...
We were talking like the three of us, and then he went to like say off the air to me like,
but
hey,
we were
I got
talking
a jet.
On the air, and then all of a sudden Steve forgot to turn his microphone off again and said to Kevin,
hey, I gotta go.
Oh.
That's a feel good when you're doing a show and then, you know.
But you know, the world of news is fast paced. And when you have to go, you have to go. There's no turning around. So.
You guys know I have ADHD. I can't let things go. Who are you talking to, Bertrand? I got to know.
I was talking to Ryan Burrow. What did I say? Just, yeah?
What's that, I believe?
Yes. I said, hey, a two-night stay in a one-bedroom courtyard suite at the Bailey's Harbor Yacht Club Resort in Door County, Wisconsin.
Oh, no, that was to you. What is that? What is
Steve
that?
Wanted to know more. He was excited.
We're going to give you a chance to win that. It's open year-round. It's awesome. It's at Lake Michigan, or off the shores of Lake Michigan, not like right floating on it.
Right.
And you can book your getaway by calling 800-927-2492 or go online to bhycr.com. Or just wait. Don't call now. Bill has another one of his fun games that he's worked very hard
planned.
For.
But it is. It's a nice drive up. It's a nice drive. Yeah. All right. I want to pay tribute to the Underdahl family.
Who?
The Underdahl family. They
Underdahl.
Live in
Underdahl.
They live. That's their theme song. They live in northern Idaho for 101 years. Wendy, 101 years. They have produced only male offspring. Medical science is baffled by it. They've never seen anything quite like it. The Underdahl family only gets boys. Well, the other day, for the first time ever, finally a baby girl, Aurelia Marie Ann, 8 pounds, 3 ounces, was born to the family, ending a streak that lasted over 101 years.
Congratulations. A little pink in their areas.
Finally.
Now.
Finally.
Eight pounds, that's a big baby.
Yeah, right. It is. 8 pounds, 3 ounces. I don't know if I'm the only one who noticed this, but I point this out to my wife all the time. Like, of the people we know, it seems like most of them either have all boys or all girls. And I know that's not the case with all people we know, but in a strange number of cases, they either have all boys or all girls. I don't remember that when I was a kid. I remember most families having a combination of boys and girls, but for some reason, it's changed a little bit.
What, do you know 4 families?
No, 6 families. We know a bunch of families, but like I look at the families on our block. Oh, that family has all girls. That family has all boys. Oh, they have all boys. They have all girls. You have all boys. I have all girls.
All right, but I'll say, you know, one neighbor, both girls.
Yeah.
Another neighbor, 3 boys.
Yeah.
Another neighbor, 1 of each.
See what I mean? 2 out of the 3 examples you gave me.
I guess you're right.
A startling 66% of the people. You just said it's either all boys or all girls.
I guess. My cousin has all girls. Another cousin has all boys.
Right. I mean, I know you can find examples either way, but like it's the numbers don't add up to me. I'm like, well, it should be. You would think with the law of averages, it should be way closer to being even, but
no,
it isn't for some reason.
It's the man's fault.
I didn't say fault.
Well, it's the man's. He's the deciding factor. You're the one that decides if it's a guy
That's
or a
true.
Girl.
That's true.
So you must have wanted girls.
It's the last decision we get to make.
I don't even think you really get to make that decision either, Steve, but nice try.
Right. Right.
I think that goes without thinking.
Probably. All right, let's do this.
And Bertrand has 1 of each.
Steve is
He's the lucky one.
Steve is somebody who does have 1 of each, right.
Make your mind up to do something, you do it.
Right.
I gotta go.
All right, a quick break. Steve with the news, and then your chance to win a great vacation getaway to Bailey's Harbor Yacht Club Resort. Stay here. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Is Bertrand finished yet?
He's done. Well, it's time to give away, and we've been doing this for the last couple of weeks, and people are thrilled. Now, I know that everybody can't win a prize. I understand that. And if you can't, by all means, call up Bailey's Harbor Yacht Club Resort and book yourself a stay there. You're going to enjoy it. It's close by. It's beautiful. There's great restaurants nearby. It's scenic. All kinds of stuff to do there.
Their website is bhycr.com, but no need to go to the website now because you're going to try and win a 2-night stay in a 1-bedroom courtyard suite at the Bailey's Harbor Yacht Club Resort in Door County, Wisconsin.
Now, if you're calling now, unfortunately, the lines are about to be cleared. We have to give everybody a fair chance at this. I know people have been calling in. So please, if you're about to be dumped on the phone lines, call back up because now is the time to call. Kevin, start out by clearing the lines. 312-981-7200. In a moment, we will pick 2 random numbers. You will square off against each other for this incredible prize over at Bailey's Harbor Yacht Club Resort.
People get on our backs, too, and say if we give a particular number of caller, then it's not random. But we want you to randomly get into the phone banks. And
right.
Then when we pick callers 7 and 11
yeah.
at 312-981-7200, you'll be in and you'll vie against each other.
That's it. That's it exactly.
Who's versing who? We're about to find out.
All right. So call now, 312-981-7200. Were the 7-Eleven, was that just an example, or is that who
we're
going to go with?
No, that's what we're doing
today. We'll go with them? All right. All right. So we will find callers 7 and 11, and then I will explain what today's game is, and then somebody will win the prize, and somebody will be very disappointed.
I'm going to help you as your friend because you're going off into the big world to start your weekend.
Yes.
You have some glitter on your lip.
That's on purpose. This game is so exciting, Wendy, that I decided that the only way I could possibly make it more exciting was to put just a little bit of glitter on my lip.
It's like right here near your
Do you know how
frenulum.
That happened? Can I tell you how
You're
that happened?
You're my best frenulum.
Thank you.
No, it's up here.
It's up there? Can I tell you why? How this happened?
I'd like to know.
This morning, I French kissed an advent calendar. I know that seems odd, but
all right. Just look in the mirror before you leave, because you're out to start your weekend, and you have one speck of glitter on.
It sounds like you're jealous right now.
Look at my eyes; they are very sparkly. Uh-huh. I have a lot of glitter on. Uh-huh. Were you kissing my eye?
No.
All right. Nope. You want to meet our first contestant?
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Rich. You are caller number 7, so you will be our first contestant for today. Bill?
Fantastic. Thank you.
Rich, they asked this on game shows, so I will ask this. Where do you hail from?
I hail from the beautiful suburb of Buffalo Grove.
That is a beautiful suburb. What do you do there in Buffalo Grove?
I live there.
Oh, okay.
Good answer.
Very good answer.
Way to shut you up, game show host.
I have no response to that.
Cram it, clowny.
Right. That's the new version of Cram it, clowny. Yep.
All right, Rich, would you like to meet who you're going up against?
That'd be wonderful.
All right. Bill, I believe our next guest hails from the southwest area of the city. You can ask her where, but her name is Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Hello.
Laura, Wendy was very vague on where you live. Where do you live?
Homer Glen.
And what do you do there?
I live there.
Okay.
All right.
There's a lot of that going around.
I love you too.
There's a lot of sarcasm with today's contestants, Wendy.
All right. Rich, meet Laura. Laura, meet Rich.
Hello, Laura.
That's what I like to see. Friendly contestants. All right. Let me explain the rules. Now, first I'm going to tell you what we're doing today. Today's game is called the BHYCR game, because that's what Bailey's Harbor Yacht Club Resort stands for. BHYCR, Bailey's Harbor Yacht Club Resort. So in honor of that, it's acronym mania. These are various acronyms, letters that all have a different meaning, a more important meaning. Like, Wendy, if I were to say to you, you told me a joke and I LOL'd, that would mean what?
Laughed out loud.
Absolutely right. You'd be on the prize board. So when you know the right answer, Rich or Laura, buzz in by saying your name. There are 10 questions in acronym mania. The first one's very easy. It's worth 100 points, but it's very easy. Second one's 200 points. It's a little bit harder, and it goes all the way down the block till we get to 1,000. Whoever has the highest score at the end of the 10 questions wins acronym mania. Are you both ready?
Ready to roll.
All right. Very, very nice.
All right. We need a proper introduction for you, our game show host. So, Kevin, will you give our host a proper intro?
Sure.
Kevin, can I ask a quick favor?
Okay.
Before you introduce me with my new fake game show name, could you say, and now here he is, the host of acronym mania, and then my new fake game show name?
Yeah, I think
all right.
So.
All right.
And now, here he is, the host of Acronym Mania, Wink Martinleff.
That's pretty good. I thought that was outstanding, Kevin.
That was all right, really thank you. Oh, my God, the crowd loved
applause.
It.
All right, so Rich and Laura, when you know the right answer, you'll buzz in by saying your name. Rich, let me hear your buzzer, please.
Rich.
Excellent. Laura, your buzzer would sound like?
Laura.
Very, very nice. All right, here goes. Again, these are all acronyms. I'm going to give you the letters, and you have to tell me what they mean. The first one, very easy. It's worth 100 points. Here goes. It's impossible to beat a PB&J for lunch. What does PB&J mean?
Rich.
Rich was first.
Peanut butter and jelly.
Absolutely right, Rich. You lead by a score of 100-0. Very nicely done. Question 2 is worth 200 points, and it goes like this. Pee-wee Herman thought that these letters stood for female body inspector, but FBI really means this.
Laura.
Laura?
I don't know. Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Absolutely right. Nicely done.
I don't know. Got you a winning point there.
Very nice.
200 points.
Laura has a slight lead over Rich. It's 200-100. Question 3, worth 300 points. Acronym mania. Here is question number 3. Life is pretty good if you're driving a BMW, which stands for what?
Rich.
Rich?
Bavarian Motor Works.
Absolutely right, Rich. You get 300 points for that, bringing you back into the lead, 400 to Laura's 200. Question 4 is worth 400 points. Here goes. They're starting to get a little bit tougher, by the way. You might want to pay extra special attention to any announcement made by the CDC, because they are who?
Rich.
Rich?
Center for Disease Control.
Absolutely right, Rich.
Laura, is your buzzer working?
Yes.
These are tough.
I thought you said CVC.
Oh, no, there is no CVC. It's CDC. I will enunciate better. I promise. It's 800 for you, Rich. Laura, you have 200. I will enunciate way better on question 5. It's worth 500 points.
Will you please do that, Wink Martinleff?
I will try my best. Angry crowd. Here goes for 500 points. Elvis Presley had a ring, a band, and an airplane emblazoned with the TCB logo. What does TCB mean?
Really?
TCB. I don't know.
Neither of them. Wendy, you want to answer this one?
Can I give them another question?
Yeah, you could.
It's an abbreviation for a Bachman-Turner Overdrive song. Rich just drove off the road.
I heard Rich drive off the road.
No, I'm not driving.
Okay.
Oh.
He walked off the road quickly.
Taking care of business.
Taking care of business, baby. Taking care of business. Rich, you have 800 points. Laura, you have 200 points. We are halfway through with our game, but the questions get a little bit tougher. The points are worth more, but the questions are tougher. Question six is worth 600 points. Here goes. If this category was things your cab driver enjoyed listening to, the answer would be NPR. What does NPR mean?
Rich. National Public Radio.
Absolutely right. Very, very nice. You are now at 1,200 points. Well, I'm sorry, 1,400 points. That was worth 600.
I think I should hang up.
No.
No, Laura, we got four.
Can I Laura, the magic about Wink Martin Left's scoring system, it
yes.
sounds crazy, but what I love about it is you can come from behind the last couple of questions and walk away with the prize.
That's true.
Wink Martin Left is a genius.
Well, you're right.
So don't hang up, Laura.
Don't hang up. You lose 50 points for hanging up, by the way. That's a new rule we just made. All right, Rich, it seems like you have a commanding lead with 1,400 to Laura's 200, but as Wendy just pointed out, anything can happen. Question seven
anything
is...
Can happen.
Anything can happen. Question seven is worth 700 points. Roughly a third of the shows on network television end with the letters CSI. What does CSI mean?
Rich? Crime scene investigation.
Yes, absolutely right.
You knew that, Laura, didn't you?
I did. I said it, but I forgot to say my name.
See? You got to play by the rules. Wink Martin Left might be a genius, but he's kind of mean.
Very mean. Very, very mean. Question eight is worth 800 points. Laura, it's imperative you get these. Question eight, 800 points. Here goes. The world of sports gives us the term TKO. Does TKO have a familiar ring? Rich?
I believe it's knockout.
Rich, that is incorrect. No, Laura, you can steal. What does TKO mean, Laura?
I'm whispering it to you. I'm not even whispering to you. I'm mouthing it to you. Rich, you're done. Laura.
Trust knockout.
No, it's not a trust knockout. That would be difficult in the boxing ring.
Technical
knockout. We were looking for technical. You were so close, Rich. Rich, you have 2,100. Laura, you have 200. Question nine is worth 900 points. Maritime vessels, the Pinafore and the Bounty, are preceded by the letters HMS, which designate what?
Wendy,
you can't answer yet.
Don't answer, Wendy.
The Pinafore and the Bounty are preceded by the letters HMS, and that designates what?
HMS.
Yes.
Is that, I am the very model of a modern major general.
It's part of it.
Does that help you, Laura?
I don't
Rich?
Know.
Neither of them Broadway show tune fans, Wendy. What does HMS stand for?
Her Majesty's Ship.
Either Her Majesty's or His Majesty's Ship. Either would have been accepted.
The Queen.
Okay, neither. There is one question left. Rich, it looks like it could go your way. Laura, it would take a miracle, but anything can happen for 1,000 points. The band CSNN became CSN and Y just by adding a Neil. Who are CSN and Y?
Are you guys
you're making
kidding
what,
me?
You're making,
Laura.
It's been a long week.
Laura.
Absolutely right, Laura. Very, very
was
nice.
Was that enough to win?
Sadly, Laura, you still came up just a little bit short, just a tad short. And I want to say hello to Tad Short, who's helped me with my questions. Laura, you had 1,200, but Rich with 2,100 is our victor today. Thank you both for playing.
Thank you very much.
Now, hang on here really quickly. Laura, we can send you to see a soccer match if you'd like, or we can give you a Lou Malnati's pizza. We'll let you decide.
Lou Malnati's.
A Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnatis.com. Kevin, I don't know how to put Laura on hold, so if you could do that. Rich, I would like to continue talking to you along with Wink Martin left.
We're here for you.
You have scored a two-night stay in a one-bedroom courtyard suite at the Bailey's Harbor Yacht Club Resort in Door County, Wisconsin. Scenic views, serene beauty on the shores of Lake Michigan.
Say all the amenities.
There are a lot of amenities.
All the amenities.
Wink, indoor and outdoor pool, whirlpool, sauna, Door County activities just minutes away from Bailey's Harbor.
The Cana Island Lighthouse is there, too.
Is it really?
Yep.
Oh, Wink yep. Martin Leff likes to travel there.
I like a good lighthouse.
It's open year-round. Book your getaway by calling 800-927-2492 or go to their website, which inspired acronym mania, BHYCR.com. And for the bonus question, Rich, what does BHYCR stand for?
Can you repeat that, please?
Forget it. I'm just done with you. Bailey's Harbor Yacht Club Resort. You're
That's
going,
what I was
dude.
Gonna say.
I know. You're
he
going.
He was
going
to say it. Well, thank you, Rich. Well played.
Thank you very much.
All right. We'll take a quick break and then a little bit more show, and then we'll find out what Roe and Anna have next. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
A fantastic job by Wink Martin Leff. That is fun to say.
You're very kind, Wendy. Thank you. It's fun to do.
312-981-7200. We have a couple of texts that I would like to share with everyone.
All right.
Someone says those are just initials. An acronym has to spell a word.
I think because here's what I do when I'm putting
That's
those
wrong.
Questions together. I check them online to make sure that the questions and the answers are correct. And to check them, I went to two different websites that are...
Acronyms are us.
Acronym-based. Yeah. Acronyms are us.
Can I tell you?
Yeah, what does it say?
You're correct, Wink.
Yeah.
An acronym is a word or name formed as an abbreviation from the initial components in the phrase or word, usually individual letters,
yeah.
as in NATO. I don't know what that stands for.
North Atlantic Treaty Organization?
Yeah, I think you're right on that one. So you are absolutely correct. What this listener is thinking about is an anagram.
That's right.
That's when you take
That's
a
Rose
word.
Partner. She'll be in a few minutes.
That's when you take a word and junior jumble it.
Right.
Like Jim Morrison has turned into I am the Lizard King.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that's what an
that's
anagram is.
Right.
So the person is incorrect and accusing you of being wrong. And then someone said, a different person, of course, says this game show segment is epic.
Oh.
Viva Leff.
Wow. Well,
so I like
you.
That as maybe your co-host on your game show network.
Viva Leff. All
yeah.
right. All right.
So Wink Martin Leff and Viva Leff.
I'm all right with that. Sure.
All right.
Why not? That's excellent. In just a little bit, we'll talk to Ro and Anna. We'll find out what they've got coming up on their show. So stay where you are. This is Bill and Wendy on WGN.